This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. Then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred.
Place Be Nation, welcome to episode number 5 of the No Holds Barred podcast. I am JT. Joining me, as always, on this trip through nonsense is Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
Teeny weeny!
Dookie bookie, snoochie boo. Now we're just mixing movies.
We don't talk enough about No Holds Barred.
No, well, one episode, we're just going to come out of nowhere, I think, and just like live watch the movie as the episode.
Or act it out.
That too, yeah. We could do a table reading of No Holds Barred. Did you have can you find the whole script?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll transcribe it if not. I mean, I know it by heart, so.
All right, so how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Yeah.
Good.
Itchy. I'm very itchy.
Okay, well, hopefully we can scratch those itches tonight for you.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. Would you like that?
I would love it. I would love it. I don't know how comfortable I'd be if we did it together, but.
Oh. Well, I could just do it for you then.
If you'd like. It might be the kind of thing we need to ask permission for, though.
Anyway, so here on No Holds Barred, the podcast, we do a bunch of different falls. And we do some wrestling. We do some pop culture. We do some lists. And then we always start off with our No Holds Barred moment of the day, Aaron.
Yeah, and this week I'd like you to start us off because I've got nothing.
You got nothing?
I don't know. Let's see what you got. And okay. I'm going to see if it bounces off something that's happened to me lately.
So mine didn't happen today. It happened a few days ago. And this is going to be like a podcast puzzle for you all. On the next episode of Wrestling Warzone, not the one that dropped last week, on the next one, I open with a long story about my, not that long, but a detailed story about my car fiasco over the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to pick up where I left off on that. That's coming later this week. So you're going to hear the end of the story first, and you can put it together. And if
we're
you
doing
do that,
a memento thing here.
And if you do that, you call in and you call the number 5. You'll win a key to Chrissy Todd Whitman's car that also has in it $100,000 from SummerSlam '97. I'm guessing.
And we will try to call you, even though you might not be home.
You're in the house. Okay, so my car was at the dealer. That's what you need to know from the last one. And I was awaiting it to be fixed. So I call on last Thursday and in the morning, and I talked to this fine lady, Shauna, who I've been working with. She's kind of been my contact there. And she's like, oh, what we need to fix your car is coming in. Should hopefully be here today. I'll call you as soon as it's done. You can come get your car. I'm like, great. Perfect. I get no call that day. So I call Friday morning and I ask for Shauna. And I'm told Shauna no longer works here because the dealership was sold yesterday at 1 p.m. It is under new ownership, and Shauna went with the old owners.
Wow.
Like, I mean, and if you hear the rest of the story, you're going to be like, what the fuck? Because, like, everything I've been through with this whole fiasco, and, like, what are the odds that the day I'm supposed to get the goddamn car back, they sell the dealership? I mean, what the fuck? So the dealership is sold. And so I explain to the girl the situation. I'm like, all right, my car's there. It's supposed to be done. So she puts me on hold for a legit 10 minutes. I'm on hold. She comes back. I'm going to have to call you back. We're going to try and figure this out. I'm like, figure it out. Like, do you have my car? Have you sold it? Like, where is it? Where's my goddamn car?
Yeah.
What are you figuring out? So I'm like, fine. So I'm putting the trust in her. She's going to call me back. 2 hours goes by. I went to the gym, did some work. Like, no callback. So I am, like, fuming at this point. And I tell my wife, I'm like, we're just going to drive over there from the gym. And like, I call my dad, and I'm like, what do you think? You know, should I go? He's like, just try calling again. So I call again, and it's just, like, endless loop. It's, like, puts me into the hold, and then it's like, you know, please hold, please hold, please hold. And, like, no one picks up. So now I am, like, rip shit. So I load the family in the car at the gym. We drive down to the dealership, and I am fucking ripe. I mean, I stink. I am covered in sweat. I look like a fucking mess. I just, you know, I haven't showered. I'm just disgusting. And I'm just picturing having to walk in there and just like light this place up. So I walk in and it is chaos. People all over the place. So apparently the old dealership finished transferring all their information and just like shut everything down. The internet, the phones, like everything just went down. So they couldn't call anyone back. And, you know, she was just relying on people coming in or just waiting for the phones to go up. So the car wasn't done. And one kid's like, you know, it'll be done in a couple hours. Here's my personal number. Just text me. I went home. Text him 2 hours later. It was ready. I went and picked it up. Now, as you'll hear, most of it is covered, or all of it is covered by Jeep due to an issue. But they also were going to have to reimburse me for the battery because that wasn't like part of the coverage. But they're going to cover it anyway because what happened killed my battery. So I go to pay, and they're like, well, they're like, you can't pay because our systems are all still down. Nothing's up yet. I'm like, okay. So they're like, do you want to leave your credit card? I'm like, no. Do I look like I'm going to leave my fucking credit card with this shit show?
Someone I don't know?
Right. So they just have like he's like, no, I didn't think so. So they just have like a stack of papers with everyone's phone number that owe them money. So I'm like, all right. Like, maybe I'll talk to you soon. Who knows? I still haven't gotten a call from them to pay. So anyway, that's the end of my car fiasco. But the no holds barred moment was me, like, for that split second, just walking in there. Like, just like shirt clearly just with sweat stains all over it and just stinking and just like ready to lose my mind. And then they diffused me quickly, luckily, but it was looking like it was going to get ugly for a minute.
Fair enough. So I'll go with something that is about a year anniversary. I know we're reaching back, but why the hell not?
Yeah.
So I live in a apartment next to there's four apartments in it, but we have the ground floor with the backyard. And one night, my wife sends me out for pizza. This was about a year ago, which is why I think it's apropos.
Ooh.
And I show back up at the house with the pizza, and I'd gotten a Mr. Freeze. Do you guys have Mr. Freeze?
Like Mr. Freeze, freezer pops. As fun as they are to freeze as they are to eat.
No, I meant like Mr. Freeze, the Batman villain.
Oh, I don't have one of those. I know who he is, though.
Okay, good. Well, I was talking about the ice pops. So I went and got some of those for the kids also. As I pull up to the house, there are at least 40 police officers.
At your house?
Well,
at the apartment complex. Okay.
Coming down the street. It's not a complex. It's like a four apartments. Not big.
Okay, good.
But there's at least 40 of them coming down the street, all with their bulletproof vests and guns out. So this is a whole operation. And they are going into my building. Now, stupidly, the first thing that passes through my head is this because I downloaded Game of Thrones? Which I know is the fucking stupidest possible thing.
Oh, you innocent Canadian.
I know, right? But it turns out
and you went to jail.
It was. I am in jail right now because I needed to know if the Lannisters keep all their power. No, it turns out that they smashed down the door next to me to arrest the man with 40 police officers. Now, I try to get into the house, obviously, because my family's inside fucking terrified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because all they hear is police, and they smash the door. and so the cop, I'm like, hey, can I go into my house? The cop's like, no. And he's like, what apartment do you live in? And I'm nervous, right? Because I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They won't tell me anything.
Right.
So I tell him the wrong number, but I told him the apartment that they were bashing into. So he, like, his whole physical demeanor changes, right? I'm like, no, I made a mistake. But my hope, and I don't know why this happened, my whole mission at this point was to get these Mr. Freezes to my kids before they melted. Like, of all the things to be like, maybe this guy's about to have a shootout with the cops, but
right.
These Mr. Freezes are melting. So I'm like, can I just pass them through the window? He's like, you can't pass anything through the window. And I started getting angry with the cop. like, these things are melting in my hand. They have to go through. So he made me go down to the end of the street, and the Mr. Freezes melted.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was arrested. He had bombs in the house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool they caught him.
You know how they caught him? You know what here's the worst part. They had already caught him. So, like, they were smashing through his house to find stuff, right?
Oh, so he wasn't even in there.
But they wouldn't tell us that.
Right.
So we actually left. We went and stayed in a hotel at night.
Right.
Because they were waiting outside with undercover cars and, like, And like the guy who lives upstairs from us or used to live upstairs from us is a Jamaican guy. And he's like, I'm not leaving my house, man. this is what they arrested him for. They arrested him for, he's the first person in Canada at least to be arrested for delivering drugs to a prison via a drone.
Okay.
And an off-duty prison guard caught him. Anyway, that was a year ago. And then we moved into his apartment because they renovated it because he kept it like a pigsty. But now it's nice. And we're moving out.
Because you found a bomb.
Well, I'm making my own bombs for a while. You know, I got
bombs are unpredictable.
So anyway, if you have Mr. Freeze's, if you've ever been in that
so
situation.
So where are you buying the Mr. Freeze that it's already frozen? Because like when we – if we were to buy those, you would buy them at like – they're like liquid, and then you buy them and freeze them.
No,
they're
no,
as fun as they are to freeze as they are to eat.
Yeah, no. See, we don't do that. I mean, we have those, but you go to a. If I say the word dépanneur to you, does that mean anything?
Gérard Depardieu, is that what you're saying?
Nope. So we have the convenience stores here in Quebec are called dépanneurs.
Oh.
Anyway, so in the same kind of freezer where you'd have popsicles, they have the big, long Mr. Freezes. This is a thing – that's why I asked if we had them because it's a very Quebec thing. And so you buy them there. They're already
frozen. Are they just loose? Like you just buy a freezer pop?
Yeah, and they're like 50 cents kind of thing.
Oh, no, I've never seen that here. Like I've seen like the – you buy like the box of them and then you freeze them yourself.
Yeah, I see
so
those.
You do all the legwork. We work hard here in America.
I'm weary of anything that you buy that's not like – that should be in a freezer or a fridge usually and is not. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen places where they have milk on the shelves. That drives me insane. No, I don't understand what's happening here.
No, we don't really have that here. But, the freezer props are just literally like food coloring and water. So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't want to have to go through all that effort. Mm-hmm. I want it already ready.
It's Trump's America. You got to work, buddy.
I came back from the States the other day, and I almost bought this because it was so funny. At the duty-free store, they had Donald Trump chocolate bars.
Oh yeah,
and my son started freaking out because my 6-year old. I told him about the potential Space Force, and he's very excited.
He's all in on Trump.
He's all in on Space Force. I don't know about Trump, but he's very in on the Space Force.
Okay, well, he can join the other idiots.
Hey, don't call my son an idiot. All right,
I didn't say he was. I said he could join the other ones.
Yeah, but when you say join the other, you're implying that they're becoming idiots together.
You're right. I was.
I know. I understand.
He likes the Space Force. So.
No, the Space Force. You know, we're all. You know. You know, to shit on it is, is a good instinct. But then, if aliens come,
that's right. We'll be protected.
Yeah.
Especially since this is going to be the greatest Space Force ever.
Oh, of course.
Mm. All right. So why don't we get to our first fall wrestling?
Ding ding.
And. Yeah. We usually start off with some GWWE tag team project work, and we're going to continue that trend tonight.
Which we plan to do.
Interestingly enough, a couple days ago, you sent me some teams that we could talk about, and one that we came and settled on was the Harf Foundation. We have the proof that we're going to talk about them tonight. And then earlier today, the sad news broke that Jim Neidhart had a fall in his house and hit his head and passed away, sadly. So we figured, okay, well, we're all going to talk about the Harf Foundation anyway. We'll continue that and talk about him and kind of make it a Neidhart tribute. So we're actually just going to talk Neidhart teams, which we believe the ones that are germane to this project are the Harf Foundation and then the New Foundation.
Yeah.
So Brett and Neidhart and Owen and Neidhart. And we're not going to talk any other teams. We're just going to do them tonight, which is fine because I think the Harf Foundation will probably be quite the discussion. And then the Owen one, too, is interesting because, like we're mentioning, it seems like on the surface it's just like 3 months of 92 or whatever, and that's it. But they also have 94 for the, you know, 6 or 7 months of 94 that they team up, and there's some decent stuff in there too. And then I'm not sure, I don't think he did much team stuff in 97. I think him and Brett may have had a match in 97 somewhere. But I don't think him, like, I don't think he has any sustained runs in there. I think he's pretty much just muscle and fights every now and then. So,
yeah.
So the main runs we'll be talking about are him and Brett from 85 to 91, and then him and Owen for that 9 month combined run in 92 and 94. So first stroke, where would you have thought you'd have the Harf Foundation?
Well, I mean, now there's a couple stages here because I originally, if you were to just ask me the question, I'd probably say somewhere near the top 10.
Yep.
Okay. But now I've actually gone ahead and at least somewhat tiered everything, in groups of 10. So basically I have like 1 to 10, 11 to 20, and then I have the ones that are outside. And I think so far I mean, it could change, but my instinct is I have the Heart Foundation in the 11 to 20 range.
Yeah.
Probably closer to 11.
I think the Heart Foundation, it's an interesting case because I feel like it's that team where it is exactly what you just described, right? Like the first thought, boom, oh, they're like one of the best, top three. And then their team is when you start to really match them up against the other top 10 teams, you're right. They start to slide down that ladder a bit. I expect to have them probably in that, maybe a little higher than you. I don't know, 10-ish range, you know, 10 to 12, 8 to 12, yeah. Somewhere in there, more than like the back end.
Oh, it won't be back end. I'm pretty sure it's like it's 10, it's 11, 12.
Right.
But you never know, right?
Yeah, that feels right. You know, watching back a lot of their stuff, like from the MSGs, like they have real good matches with the Bulldogs, but they kind of top out a real good. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of great in there yet that I've seen. I know they have at least one great one. Is it in Washington, maybe, I think? DC? I feel like there's one, like, really great one out there with them. But they do have the longevity, obviously, the title reigns. They were the showcase for the division a couple of times. They also were kind of backseated in the division quite a bit. I think part of it had to do with, you know, and Callum McDougall talked about this in his Jim Neidhart obit that he put up on PlayStation.com today. You should read that.
Great read.
He mentioned, yes, it was. He mentioned a couple times that, you know, Anvil was kind of sacrificed for the Brett singles push attempts that happened in 88 and then again in 89 and then in 91 when they split. And I think that hurts the team a bit too. So you have that happens twice, where they kind of try the Brett solo push. And during those times, the Hearts are kind of deprioritized in the division. So really, once they lose the belts to Strikeforce and, you know, all that ends, they're pretty much backseated until they heat back up in late 90. I mean, they still get their blips, right? Like, they, you know, they fight the champs at SummerSlam 89 and there's other stuff in there. But for them being the focal point of the division, they're like well behind Demolition for like 2.5 years in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I would say at points behind teams like – even like the Rockers. Like the Rockers seem to get a bit more shine in the division. But I think it's exactly because that they're trying to go for the Brett singles push.
Right, yeah. Like we're watching all the summer of 88, and he's pretty much solo with like Bad News Brown throughout all that. And, you know, they get the – and it's funny because 88 and 89 kind of mirror each other. Brett's kind of – they're both working singles a lot in both those years. But at SummerSlam, they get the title match. You know, 89 is not technically title match, but they're fighting the champions during like times where they're pretty much wrestling solo, which I found interesting as well.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny because they're also during that period too, given very throwaway WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
Like they get Rhythm and Blues at 5
it's pre Rhythm and Blues too. It's just like,
that's right.
It's Honky and Valentine is thrown together, you know, which makes it even like less. Right.
Right. And then they crush the Bolsheviks at 6.
And that's really just to get them reheated up for SummerSlam. I mean, that's just to set them up to be the team of the summer as Demolition turns heel. So that, I mean, that's almost just like a reintroduction. At 4, they're in the Battle Royal. At 3 is probably their highest profile match until the end when they have the 6-man with Danny Davis.
Oh, yeah.
But even that's more about Davis. Like if you watch the build and into that, like Davis is the heat machine leading into that.
And but it is built on the foundation of the Bulldog and Hart feud.
Kind of. But it's also built on the back of Tito Savage because of Danny Davis. You know what I mean?
That's
like
right.
It's a lot. It's very Davis-y when you watch it. It's a lot of focus on him when you watch the build. And then 2, they're in the Battle Royal. And then 7 is the big title match. So it's probably 7 and 3 is the coin flip for their biggest Mania match. And other than that, you know, SummerSlam was kind of more their show, right? Because 88 and 89, 90, they're in there with the champs. So that's kind of more their...
Yeah.
Seem to be their jam.
It just depends on what you think of those Demolition matches. Because for me, I don't quite like – I think they're fine, but not more than that.
90 is really about the atmosphere and the story. And, like, I'm curious to watch it as Scott and I, you know, and crew move through those to see, like, how they build up to it. Because, like, is it, like, a almost like a redemption story? Like, you know, they've been battling. And even when they lose at SummerSlam, it's, you know, it's one of those, like, oh, like, they blew a big shot. Now they're going to tumble down the ladder kind of thing. And then, you know, you know, it's six. Well, no, because he says to someone, I mean, I think Jesse says that. Like, this is going to knock, could take him out of contention for like a year.
A year.
And it basically does, right? They don't get a title shot till SummerSlam. And Jesse and Gorilla kind of say to WrestleMania six, like, if they win here, they can, you know, if they, a win here for either team is going to put them into contention and a loss will hurt bad. And the Hearts had that loss at SummerSlam. And then.
What a weird thing that, like, matches that weren't title matches mattered.
Imagine that. They mean something.
Yeah, like, and like the commentators talk about that instead of telling us to buy something.
Interesting.
Strange.
So you get that, and I think so. Going back to kind of where you at first, you know, guess have the Hearts. I think it probably has a little bit to do about if you watch a lot of current stuff or if you kind of checked out, right? Because I think for a while the Hearts were probably a top five team, but I think once you hit the like early to mid 2000s. There's a lot of teams that start to crop up. Like, I think the Hardys make their serious run when they kind of reunite in 06. You know, we get the Usos, we get New Day, like a bunch of teams that we've been kind of talking about as we moved along. Even, you know, Gargano and Ciampa, like you know, the Revival, like all these other teams start to come into the picture. But if you don't take that era seriously, like if you kind of checked out with Attitude and what, you know, you're like someone that just kind of thinks Dirty sucked since, and you don't really, you know, if you're not following, like I think, that type of fan may have the Hart Foundation still pretty high. Does that
make
sense?
And it's funny.
I'm trying not to be dismissive of it either. Like, it's a fine stance. Like, I think I would have had Hart Foundation top three or four probably until maybe 4 or 5 years ago, right? Until you start to kind of think, you know, a little bit deeper on some of these other teams and what it means. So,
well, I hope that if that is your stance, and I'm not when I say you, I don't mean you, but I hope that if that is your stance, you will give some consider, like, get in and do the research on some of these other teams, because it's funny because in all with any complaints that like a lot of people tend to have about the current product, I find that the tag division, it's kind of started at NXT, the tag division stuff with the Revival and American Alpha and even the early Vaudevillain, like they really put a focus on it, but it doesn't suffer from the same logical gaps a lot of the times as the main storyline does.
I can tell you why.
Because they don't care about it, obviously.
They don't get as much screen time and focus, right? So there's less chance of them to fuck stuff up because it's really just like a hot match. I mean, NXT they're focused on, but on the main roster, it's really just matches. I mean, there's nothing to them. So yeah, it's like it's great. I mean, they don't have the hours of story time to fucking do stupid shit like, you know, running obstacle courses or whatever else.
Yeah, and so instead, you just get like good to great pay per view matches. Like, the tag matches every month are kind of what I look forward to for the most part.
Right. So the highest Bulldogs Hart Foundation match I had was September 85 MSG. I have it at 3.5, and Scott had it at 4.
Right.
That's just the ones we've watched. That's any pay-per-view Saturday Night's Main Event or MSG match.
Well, I mean, what's their best tag match? Would you say it's the Brainbusters?
It's got to be, right? I mean, that's what... I got to see what I have that at.
I have that at 4.
I think 4 sounds right. That was one of those like overrated ones for many years, right? Like everyone had like as a 5, you know, and then you kind of recalibrate your expectations.
Yeah, I mean it's extremely good, but I think it's fair to say that for a while it was the best tag match in company history.
Right. So I take your ratings pretty serious. I take Chad's ratings. Obviously, he's kind of like some people worship at the altar of Keith. Chad's kind of my barometer. Like if I'm within, you know, like a sphere of Chad, I feel pretty good about it. So he has a 4. You have it as a 4, and Stacy's the other one who I really kind of trust her ratings, and she's got a 3.5. So I feel like I'm not over, you know, I'm not underrating it at all at 4. So I feel pretty good there.
No, and it's funny because before I watched it the last time, I probably would have thought 4.5,
right?
Just based on hype and whatnot.
Snowflake Phillips has it at 4.5.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but it's Bret Hart.
That's true.
Phillips and Bret Hart have a long storied history, I feel.
I feel like maybe, I mean, if you're in the right mood, it could be like 4.25-ish. I feel like it's more 4, 4.25 than it is like 3, 3.75 of 4. You know what I mean? Like, I feel it's more a touch over 4 than under 4. Does that make sense? This is as nerdy as it gets, but.
I would agree, and I would also say that if it was on a different show, it might be higher too.
Mm.
But that first half of that card is so good.
Yeah. It's a great match. Yeah. I would say that's probably the best. And I think sneakily, you know, the Nasty Boys match. Because, it's a Nasty Boys straight non-garbage match. And it's real good. And, I mean, you got to put a lot of credit for the Nasties hang with them, but the Hearts have to get a ton of credit in that one. For carrying them through that. So that might actually be their most impressive match, because I feel like you can, like, anyone as good as Bret Hart should be able to roll out of bed and have a 4-star match with Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to go out there with the Nasties in, like, that match is long too. Isn't it like 17 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, it's very long.
Yeah, so
I feel like the heat is consistent throughout, from what I remember.
Yeah, it's a good match. It's just like a good match. It's how long? 12:10.
And it's on it's another good match on a really good show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a very underrated WrestleMania, and it's not a low point.
Not at all. I mean, and it could have been, right? Because the Hearts are, it's the end of them. Like, they had every right to mail it in if they wanted to, right? Like, they're fighting the fucking Nasty Boys. They're done after this long run. Brett's, like, desperate to probably start his singles push. Anvil's on the verge of getting shit canned. You know, it's like this, like, right. they had every right to just mail that one in, put the stamp on the envelope and say sayonara. But, you know, they didn't. They busted their ass, and it's a really, really fun match. So when I reviewed this a few years ago, I went 2.5, which feels kind of low. Scott went 3. I have to rewatch it. It might be closer to a 3.
Yeah, I mean, look, thinking about, I haven't watched it in a while. I probably won't get to it for a while, but I'm thinking probably between probably 3, 3.25. But I could be wrong. Again, I haven't watched it in a while.
No, that feels right. I mean, and you know, again, then if you kind of arc it for the net, you know, knowing it's a Nasty Boy straight match, I think that that bumps it a bit too.
Yeah. Now we kind of talked about their placement, but what are your thoughts on them, like, as a team? How they complemented each other?
I think they complement each other greatly. And
did they create that formula of not necessarily create, but are they kind of one of the big perpetrators early on of the big strong guy, more technical guy formula?
I think so. And the sneaky part is with Anvil, he's the big strong guy, but he was like super agile. I mean, he's out there flying around too. Like
throwing drop kicks,
slingshots off, you know, using the slingshot off the rope to do like the shoulder block and stuff. Like that's one of the best parts about the 90 match, right? Is at the end when he does a shoulder block.
Yeah.
And his bumping and he flies around. He's got good energy out there. Like he's not just sitting in chin locks, you know, maybe early when he's some of his heel solo stuff, but once they really get cooking, and when they were heels in 85 and 86, like, they're really good stooges, too. Like, they bump and stooge around a lot.
Yeah.
And Anvil's really good at that. So it's not even just your strict big little. I mean, he's really bumping around. They're flying around, both of them. So, I thought they complemented each other really well. Like, and Anvil, too, like, he was underrated kind of promo-wise. I mean, maybe he was properly rated. I don't know. I think folks respect his promo game. Like, that was a big part of the team, too, whereas I thought they cut pretty effective promos. Like, even though Brett, it took him a couple of years to not seem lost.
Right.
Like, for a while, they kind of do this heel trolling thing, which was pretty funny a lot of the time, where they're just kind of, like, being smarmy, almost like internet smartasses, like in 1986. I thought they just really worked well together. I thought they looked right. They had, like, good kind of nonverbal cohesion, too. Like I can remember as a kid, if we'd be wrestling in the backyard or the basement or wrestle, like, you kind of imitate the Hart Foundation, like, slap in the corner, you know, they do kind of the up, high five up, high five down, and then you know what I mean, like, they kind of do that all the time. Like, so it's like they had a real good just kind of connection and charisma, and Brett with the sunglasses and Anvil laugh, it's like the whole package is super memorable and everything about them really stood out. Like, I think when you think of memorable names from that era that folks that have lapsed big time would know, I think Anvil's kind of a sneaky one that a lot of people would probably remember if you mentioned his name. So, you know, you always think of, like, Jake the Snake, Honky Tonk Man, Andre the Giant, you know, like, the big names. But I think Jim the Anvil, like, you know, it's on the scroll of ESPN right now, like, that he passed away. And I think a lot of people would see that name and just remember it.
It's at a time, too, when, like, it's a gimmick name, but it's not a lame gimmick name.
Right.
It's not like he's, like, Chet Chesterfield, you know. Or whatever they come up with now, like, take two popular thing. Apollo Crews is the worst example, right? Apollo Creed and Terry Crews, right? It just makes him sound that little bit more badass.
The Anvil part,
And it's not so over the top. Like, right. I liken it to Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a little adjective that helps. I also really thought that the difference in their energy was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, Brett with his smooth, a lot calmer, and then Anvil with his kind of crazed lunacy.
Right.
And I love when Jim would have to calm down Brett in a promo.
Yeah.
That was always fun.
Calm down!
Yeah. And have you ever had a beard long enough to stroke?
Sadly not.
Because if you have I would imagine anybody who's listened to this has at least done a Jim the Anvil Neidhart in the mirror once.
Oh yeah, done the stroke and the laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course the famous one, I believe it's 1990, right? The two hearts beating as one. Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Like that was that's one of the more epic promos. So I mean they are clearly a very memorable team. Are they a touch overrated historically for pure dirty of fans? Probably. Because, like, say you did this list for all time tag teams, like, beyond just WWF. Maybe sneak in top 25. You know what I mean? Maybe.
But that's not really a fair list for the WWF teams because they've never, ever been the focus.
No, but even if you did, like, WWF and then WCW and NWA. You know what I mean? Even if you didn't do, like, other... my point is, I think some fans would even have them high on that list, which is where I think the overrated part comes in.
Yeah, I think you remember their matches mm-hmm. being a bit better than they were, and I don't mean that they were crap because I don't recall too many bad Hart Foundation matches. But I think I mean at least me when I started looking into it, like I was remembering a lot more great matches, and what I got was a lot of very good matches. Yeah. Now, in your watch, I haven't seen any personally. How was their series with Strikeforce? Or did it even exist in that sphere of MSGs and stuff that you watched?
Yeah, I don't think we saw many. We had some of the Killer Bees matches, I think.
Yeah, and those were good. I've seen mm-hmm. a couple of those. I like those a lot. But,
yeah, and there's some good ones, and then there's a couple of rough ones.
Right.
Because, there's not many bad ones, but when they did mail it in, it would get kind of rough. All right, Bulldogs Heart Foundation, they fought in July 85, September 85. They fought the Rougeaux September 86. I give that 3. Scott went 3.5. Young Stallions. Strike Force, I went 3 stars, 1187 MSG.
What did you have on the Young Stallions?
Well, that's the Stallions main event where he's hurt.
Oh, okay.
That was the Rumble. When's the one where they fight and he's hurt?
They don't fight the Young Stallions at the Rumble.
No, so I had to be there. There's one where
that's
like Rome is kind of hurt. Yeah, that's right, the Islanders. I think this wasn't like a real... I have it a star and a half. There's something shaky about it. It's like either real short or there's something weird about it. It's wonky. It's from the October 87 Stallions main event. And then the only strike force we've seen is the 3-star. I had it 3 stars. It's November 87 MSG. Scott and Kelly both had 3.5, so...
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like they're a team that kind of suffers from like... Mm-hmm. I mean, they never really get that super high profile match with the Rockers.
Well, they have the one on is the Stallions main event that's really good.
It's very good, but like they're the type of team. Like, I mean, you almost wish they would have fought the Rockers at WrestleMania 7 instead. You know,
right? Yeah. That would have been epic.
Yeah, like I mean, like or even a high profile match on pay per view with the Bulldogs, I feel probably would have been. I mean, not that they phoned it in MSG, but there's something about pay-per-view which tends to tune everything up a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have liked to see them fight the LOD. That would have been really interesting. I would have liked to see them in a feud. I mean, it almost overlaps, but it would be cool to see them fighting Power and Glory. Like,
yeah.
I think that dynamic would – they have a very similar dynamic.
We came so close to it. Power and Glory almost won that Battle Royal at WrestleMania 7. The Hearts actually do fight Legion of Doom. It's on a Coliseum tape. I don't know if it's on the network. It was on WrestleFest 91, I think. Hmm. It was actually filmed after 7. It's like one of their last matches as a team. And I remember – I haven't seen it in forever, but I remember it being okay. And the Hearts kind of wrestle heel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'll try and find out when it was. I think it's on I think it's WrestleFest 91.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it would have been nice if they had had a bit more of a sustained, but they were given a bit of a higher quality opponent at pay-per-views. Right. I think we might be talking them in a bit of a different light. Because even in the Survivor Series matches, they tend to go out early.
Or they're separate. Like 88.
Yeah, there's that weird one there. Yeah.
Actually, 89, yeah. 87 and 83 are in the tag. Yeah, and 87 is a weird one where they go out kind of...
almost right away.
Yeah, and then 88, I don't think they do much either. 89, they're separate, and 90, Brett gets the Cheyenne and Anvils. You know, they're almost done at that point. So the LOD match was filmed on March 12th, so it's actually before Mania 7. It went 12 minutes. LOD defeated the tag team champs in a non-title match. And that's on the WrestleFest 91 tape and also the Life and Death of the Road Warriors DVD. So it's out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Have to dig that up because I'd be interested to see that. And it sucks because, like, right as they turned face, the Islanders were no more. That would have been a really cool matchup. Like, right. they just missed a lot of – because, like, I mean, you look at Honky and Valentine, like, yeah, you know. That's not exactly a high-quality opponent at that stage of their careers. And yeah, I mean, even the Bolsheviks, the squash is fun, but, like, there's something else for them to do. Even if they fought, like, say, the Orient Express, that might be interesting.
Yeah, or maybe the Powers of Pain, like, and then they split up after that or something.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Yeah, so I think they're kind of a bit of a victim of that, and I think that kind of hurts their case. Now, when I say hurts their case, I mean, obviously, let's qualify that. Like, we're still talking about them in the 10 to 15 range, right? So
I'm curious if they have any good Rougeau stuff coming up, because that feud is just kind of starting, where Jimmy Hart sells the contract. So I'm curious if that pops up on MSG. That's actually not a bad match of theirs. The Rumble 89, the six-man with Duggan and the Rougeaus and Bravo. Like, that's
oh, yes,
fun.
That is fun.
Yeah.
That is fun. I forget what I have that at, but it's fun.
All right, I'm checking the home video section on the network. I'm curious if that WrestleFest is on there. I feel like it's not, but let me see. It is on there. Yep.
Oh,
it's
nice.
On the network. So check it out. It's in the 91 section. So that should have it on there. Sounds like fodder for a potential column.
Yeah, you'd think if something was happening with that. I had the six-man at Rumble at 3.
Yeah, I have to check.
Which is extremely high for a match involving Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Dino Bravo.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's, again.
So it's really like a 7-star match.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting because the Rougeaus, they're just getting really good again with the heel stuff. Yeah. So I'll be curious how, you know, how they go, you know, if they, you know, how that goes if they get that match. So I had that at 3 as well.
Oh, there you go. We're right on. Yeah, I really think where you and I differ on the star rating stuff is really on the shorter or squash matches.
Yeah.
Because we tend to usually be around the same place otherwise.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. So, okay, I mean, I think we've pretty much exhausted them. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And they have some pretty big moments too, obviously. Like, SummerSlam 90 is that, I guess, the biggest moment.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, because their other win was... Was it on
Yeah,
did they
I think
win
it airs on Superstars, but
yeah, like it's kind of a nothing thing, and their right. heels. Yeah, it's for. I mean, like the company as a whole tends to. You can really tell who they like by who they put over as faces.
Right.
That's always just been their thing, right? Like anybody can win as a heel, but a face to get something and to have a big win, you know, they're behind them.
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure, that's what it is. I don't want to get too much into other teams, but because we've talked about them, I have them in a very small circle here with a team like Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think they rank compared to them?
I think Edge and Christian's higher. I just think they have the match quality that the Hearts don't, and whether it's fair or not, because the Hearts never had TLC matches with the Hearts, you know what I mean? Like, but Edge and Christian had them, you know what I mean? So to me that it's, I don't know, like they have at least 2, maybe 3 5-star matches to their credit. So.
Right.
It's
hard. And Hearts don't sniff
I also
it,
think
yeah.
they were better promos. I think they were more main event level as well. Like, I know we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think they were more main event level than the Hart Foundation were.
Yeah, I mean, the Hearts' biggest venture outside the tag division, I guess, would be beating up Savage with Honky,
right? Yeah.
And then having that – Brett having that match with Savage at Saturday Night's main event.
Right.
Yeah, which, again, is not – you know what? I actually don't think that's that far off, because considering how high profile that feud was. Like, I mean, to me, it seems like Edge and Christian teaming up with someone to main event a SmackDown, right, is not quite as important as the Hart Foundation being involved in the Savage Honky angle at that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but it just feels like that's a bit more high profile.
Yeah.
But again, that's also not – it's not long. It's what, like 4 months kind of thing?
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think I'd have Edge and Christian just a touch higher. I mean, I really like both teams. I mean, the Hearts have a little bit longer run. It's just tough. I mean, it's that comp, we've talked about it over and over.
Yeah.
The comp of the teams that have a ton of TV and pay-per-view matches is just hard to really gear up. I mean, I've seen a bunch of Hart Foundation matches lately on, you know, the MSG stuff and whatnot, but this is different. This is different. They've had more opportunities out there against quality teams. Like, there's probably, like, I don't know, a dozen Edge and Christian matches alone in like 2000 on TV that are just as good as all the Hart stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I don't know about that. Like, I think if you're talking their TLC stuff, obviously. But I think when you go to straight tag, I don't think they have anything that comes close to, say, a Hart's Brainbusters on straight tag.
You don't think that match with the Dudleys at Rumble 01's close?
No. No. I don't think so. But, you know, I might be talking out of my ass. Let me check what I have it at. But, like, no, I don't enjoy Edge and Christian in straight tags. Like, I mean, no, don't enjoy is a bit too strong. I think they're fine, but I don't think they're a top tier. I have it at 3.25. So it's not a bad match by any means, but,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
we'd
have to see. I'd have to like look at some of their, like, I'm just wondering how many good matches are lost to the TV archives in 2000 and 2001. You know what I mean? That they probably had in there.
I mean, the other thing, too, is I find with tag teams, there's a bit of a difference with the singles is that, like, I don't want to generalize and say that you've seen one tag match, you've seen them all, right? But I find the variance is not quite as wide as you get with a singles match.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yep.
Like, Brett, I mean, you watch Brett as a singles, he's got a very different match with Diesel than he has with Shawn Michaels than he has with Steve Austin. Like, there's a different style in there. Whereas, like, I find with a lot of teams – you don't have a ton of variance in the style. You have some.
Right.
So your pool for the project that you really need to delve into doesn't necessarily have to be as big.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, do you want to just really quickly talk about the New Foundation? I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
Like, I'm not sure if they'll make the list. Like, their most high-profile match in the first run is the Orient Express at Rumble 92. I don't think there's much more to them beyond that. And that's a good match. Like, that's a fun match.
Yeah. I mean, like, they kind of suffer for me for a lot of the things that, like, that Marty Jannetty suffered for as a singles performer, where you start calling it the New Foundation, you start making those callbacks, and it just feels like a little bit of a lesser version of what you had before.
Right.
Plus, they look kind of dumb in the pants. At least Anvil did, anyway.
So, last cut through, I had that at 3 stars, the Rumble 92 match. And now I want to see the Raw. Because in 94, they have their Raw match of Bulldog and Brett, which I actually think I ended up being kind of disappointed in.
Right.
I remember it being better than it ended up being, I think. Hang on, let me try and find it. Oh, what the hell is it?
Yeah, I haven't watched the Orient Express one in a while. But I would imagine that it's somewhere around the... probably around the 3-star range.
I have the Raw from November 7th, 94, Brett and Bulldog against Owen and I are 3 stars as well. So, I mean, those are probably the two biggest, you know, profile matches, and they both were at 3. So, I mean, that's not bad. That's probably better than a lot of these teams that are thrown together. And then I think they had one match in the tag tournament in 95 before Anvil gets fired, and it ends up being Yoko. And I don't know if there's anything to that, but anyway. So, I mean... Fringy, maybe, like, you know, I liked them in 94 as a unit, like,
yeah,
but it depends how much of that you count as tag stuff, you know what I mean? I probably wouldn't count them as a tag team until after SummerSlam. I think from King of the Ring to SummerSlam, it's still just Owen as a singles
he's
with Anvil kind of as his muscle, and then I feel like after that you get more you know, tag stuff from them. They're almost more like a unit.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably outside looking in. Like, I'll probably begrudgingly include teams like Money Inc. and the Natural Disasters, but I don't know if there's a space for them on the list. And it's not that I don't like them, because it's funny, because in a lot of ways I like Owen Hart a lot. Like, I think there's in some ways he's a very interesting worker, even compared to Brett. I don't know if he's better.
Right.
Brett clearly has the better matches, but he's different. And you'd think that would work really well with the Anvil.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, they're just not given the opportunity, really.
Right. I think they worked well together, like, especially in the face role. Like, Anvil's kind of like the big brother, and Owen's kind of the, like, coming up, and Anvil's, you know, watching after him and teaching him the ropes. Kind of like, I kind of like that dynamic. By 94, it's a little bit wonkier. So they had one more match on Superstars. They fought they lost to the Head Shrinkers in the opening round of the tag tournament. It's on Mega Matches 95.
Is that a Mega Match?
Sure. For 95, it probably is.
Yeah.
He actually fought Undertaker, too, in the 11-19 Superstars, which is interesting. Anvil did.
Well, I remember – it's funny. My memory of Anvil as a single star is one of the first guys Flair beat in 91. I hope I'm not remembering that wrong, but I remember him fighting him yeah. on Superstars.
Yep, he fought him on Superstars, and he had him in the figure four, and he fucked his leg up.
That's
and
right.
Then, and then the Beverly brothers attack him in the aisle after the match, and they kind of leave him for dead. And then Anvil. So Anvil, I think he had been announcing. That happens, and that's why he brings in Owen. That was the whole
thing.
Oh,
okay.
Is that he was going to bring in Owen to fight the Beverlys. But I don't remember if that happened after he had been commentating or if that leads to him commentating. You know what I mean? Like, because he's an announcer on Superstars for a while.
Yeah.
I just don't remember what came first with that whole thing.
Brett talks about that at length in his book. How, like, I mean, Brett is not – if you've read Brett's book, he's not really complimentary towards a lot of people. But, like, he talks a lot about how, like, at that point, Vince is just trying to get Anvil to do work for him because he owes him money. And,
right.
Like, it's really sad. But I think Anvil was probably a fun commentator.
Yeah, I remember being pretty good. For a while on the old WWF.com or WWE.com classics, like, it wasn't even the 24/7. They had, like, stuff on just on the website. And they had the whole run of Superstars from like 90 through like 92 or something like that.
Oh, he must be on there, yeah.
Yeah, so he was all over those. So, all right, so this is saying this is actually interesting. I don't remember this at all. So they lost to WrestleMania 7. They split up, but then reunited for a title rematch on the July 29th primetime against the Nasty Boys. They lost by DQ. That was interesting. I do not remember the reunion match. And then it says Nightheart also commentated on Challenge. It was not Superstar. It was Challenge. With Gorilla and Bobby from March until August. Returned on TV on November 9th on Superstars against Ric Flair. Kept the figure four on past the match. While hobbling to the back, he was attacked and further injured by the Beverly Brothers. Replaced at 91 Survivor Series by Sergeant Slaughter. And then returned on December 1st with Owen as the new foundation.
Right. Oof, that... And then, Slaughter's probably a good replacement for Anvil at Survivor Series.
At that point, yeah. So yeah. The highlight was a win at Rumble 92. Aside from one match against the Powers of Pain, well, it wasn't even Powers of Pain because Barbarian and Warlord reunited again.
Oh, one. Shit.
They wrestled the Beverly Brothers at house shows until he was fired on February 16th, 92.
I love that music.
It is a great theme.
Yeah. I would have had it at my wedding if we had music at the beach.
You should have. Why does it have to be at the beach?
Well, because we got married on a beach.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. My best man and I, we did the rehearsal in the morning dressed in full Ultimate Warrior gear.
There you go.
Paint, no shirts. It's actually pictures to prove it.
Fucking Canada. All right, why don't we take a break? So obviously, rest in peace, Jim Neidhart. Hopefully we pay some level of tribute indirectly to him tonight. Heart Foundation obviously will rank high. New Foundation, maybe Fringe. All right, we'll be back after this segment break. Goodbye. Calm down, Anvil.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
We're getting No Holds Barred here on No Holds Barred. Episode 5. Spends a lot of time talking Jim Neidhart, so we're going to mix things up and stay with wrestling.
Great.
Okay. It is the SummerSlam week, Aaron.
The SummerSlam! It's good that we're talking about the Hart Foundation.
I'm going to meet you in the SummerSlam. So we're pretty excited about that. I'm going to be in NXT Brooklyn. I will not be at SummerSlam Brooklyn, just NXT. It'll be my third takeover this year.
Wow. You're becoming like a little NXT disciple.
I guess. I will not be at the fourth one, but I'll be at these three.
Where's the fourth one?
Where the fuck is Fire Series? Is it in... It's not no, they already did Chicago. I don't remember where the hell it is. It was somewhere I will not be going. I know that.
No,
it's not Toronto, is it?
No, that was last year. Mm-hmm. Or 2 years ago.
Let's see where it is. It's in.
Is it?
L.A.
Okay, you're not flying out?
No.
Wow. You, my friend, are not a completionist.
Right. Okay, so here we go. Since it is the SummerSlam week, we thought we'd do something the SummerSlam themed. And that thing that we're going to do is, you may have heard before on the Place to Be podcast with me and Scott. You may have heard a version of it on the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast with me and Will. You might have seen it all over the internet with other people doing it. And that is the all-time SummerSlam card. And Aaron, this is interesting because there's been a lot of SummerSlams.
Because fucking impossible. That's
there's been a lot of SummerSlams. And I know Scott and I haven't done it in a while. So, you know, there'll be a lot of matches extra that we haven't talked about. And I don't know if Will and I ever did SummerSlam. I don't think we got that far into the year. So we're gonna do it tonight. The rules are simple. You must use one match from every card. You can only use each wrestler one time, and you can only use each title one time.
Now, question. Like, the women's title from 94, is it the same thing as the Raw women's title now?
Yeah, I mean,
that, for example,
right? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But, like,
the Universal title is the Universal title only?
Correct. Yes. The okay. World title from, like, 01 is the only – you know, so, like, those that's a little bit of a loophole around there. Like, the WCW title could be used, the U.S. title, the IC title. You know, like the Raw
sure.
tag, the SmackDown tag. But the women's title is always kind of in the women's title. You know what I mean? This is kind of retired and brought back. Unless you want to say the Diva – I mean, I guess we could do a Divas title – right, could be its own thing, and then the women's
title.
I'm not
going to be putting any of those in there.
I know. Well,
Stacey's, like, throwing her computer across the room right now.
She already hates you as it is, so.
I know. Bull, I know.
Okay, so why don't we get started? Let's just there's two ways to go about this. You can either kind of nail your big matches that you know you want, or you can go yearly, chronologically,
well,
and just work to it.
We got to put some of the big matches in.
Okay.
So what's the best match in SummerSlam history for you?
Austin Angle? No. That would have been the old days. Punk Brock or Cena Bryan and Austin Angle, probably like my top three.
See, yeah, those are my top three also, and I'd have Cena Bryan number one.
Okay. So now what title was that technically for?
It's WWE.
Okay, so that we cannot
now
use Angle Austin.
Yeah, you can't use Angle Austin. You can't use any other WWE title matches, mm-hmm. right? Now, do we want the best Intercontinental title match of all time also?
And you consider that Razor Shawn?
I think so.
Okay. Let's put it in for now.
Yeah.
The Cena Bryan one's interesting because along the way, you have to make some sacrifices, right?
Yeah. And you could sacrifice that one, Cena Bryan,
right.
Take Punk Lesnar, and then you get Cena AJ.
Right.
And Austin Angle if you want.
Right, because Cena AJ is not a title. I prefer that route.
Yeah, you could do that too. But then, like, you start to – we could try that too.
Okay. Let's do it that way, because I'd rather have that.
Okay.
I mean, to me, you're getting three, like, great matches versus one and who knows what else, right?
Yeah.
What year was AJ Cena, 16?
Yeah. And then was 01.
Okay. Yep, I get that. Okay, so we're off to a good start. I mean, that's a pretty – no matter what the rest of our card looks like those, if you have those four, you're pretty great. All right, do you want to start now with, 88?
Yeah, I think for 88, for me, it makes the most sense to take the main event.
Okay.
Because none of the other guys, for me, have anything that is better.
Right, Hogan would be the only potential one.
With Earthquake, you're talking, right?
Yes, and then – I mean, we're not going to do him and Sean, obviously.
No,
so.
I would actually say that's probably his best SummerSlam match, but we have Sean in the IC match, right?
Correct. So, yeah, I would say, yeah, I think we can use the main event there. I mean, you have other ones you could throw in if you get stuck, like a Powers of Pain Bolsheviks, right?
Sure.
Patera Brown.
Yeah.
Like guys that are never going to show up. But let's play the game. So we'll go Mega Powers, Mega Bucks, and we'll see if we get stuck and need Hogan.
Yeah.
All right, let's go 89.
Hearts Busters, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, the best match on the card mm-hmm. is Warrior Rude, right?
Yeah.
But We already got the IC, so now 90 becomes a problem.
Yeah.
90 for me, the one that makes the most sense is Warlord and Tito.
So now, what do we lose out if, like, would you, all right, so here's the game, right? Would you rather have Warlord, Tito, and Mega Powers Mega Box, or Hogan, Quake, and, like, Coco, Boss Man?
Powers I would rather have Bolsheviks. Mega Powers Mega Box than Hogan, Quake.
Let me ask you this. Where do you have Warrior? Anywhere?
No.
So what if we do Warrior, Honky, and then Hogan, Quake?
You can't do Warrior, Honky, because it's Intercontinental.
Right. Shit, okay.
Yeah, I would like that.
Yeah.
That seems like it would be a good solution. Because Warrior just gets bumped because of Ramon Michaels. Now, unless you take Ramon Michaels off the table, you do Rude Warrior, but then
you could do
you lose
Triple
Ramon.
H.
Yeah. But is that better than Ramon Michaels in the ladder match?
Yeah, so would you rather have Ramon Michaels or would you rather have Warrior, Rude, and Michaels Triple H?
I mean, from 02, the best match is Angle and the best match is probably Brock Rock.
Right.
But we can't take that because Brock is taken and the championship's taken. Then I'd probably want Angle Mysterio, but that's taken because Austin and Angle from 01.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the next best match on that for me would be Michaels Triple H.
Yep.
So we could do Michaels Triple H from 02, and then we can open up
the IC.
Yeah.
Right. So we could do, you want to do Warrior Root? Well, then you lose Hard Foundation Busters.
Yeah.
Is there any other IC? I mean, you could do Warrior Honky.
Yeah. But then you have a card that doesn't have DiBiase, yeah. Andre, Savage.
Yeah, I guess Savage is all crap or title matches.
Yeah.
Because you can't do 92.
Yeah.
Are there any of the good IC title matches?
I mean, like, you got, like, the Mysterio-Ziggler one from 09, but that's not...
Right.
I wouldn't put it in the same category.
Let's go back to Ramon Michaels. Let's do that.
Yeah,
if you're telling me it's straight Ramon Michaels or Michaels Hunter, I'm taking Ramon Michaels. I mean...
Yeah, me too.
You know,
me
if
too.
You can't get Warrior Root in... So what's the question, then? Ramon Michaels and Hearts Busters or...
Or Warrior Rude and
Triple H Shawn.
Yeah, and then who knows what from 95. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I prefer the Ramon Michaels option.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
You're also kind of getting Michaels at his peak.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to him. And not that he's washed up, because obviously he's still great. But so back to 90 then.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, unless you really want to push for Hogan Earthquake, I think Warlord Tito is the best way to go.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, you could even, if you're real stuck, you could do friggin' Sapphire and Sherry, right? I mean, they're never getting in.
Yeah, we're not that stuck, though.
No, okay. Tito Warlord. All right, 91.
The one that makes sense to me is Boss Man and Mountie.
Oh, so we didn't think about Heart Perfect, by the way.
No, we didn't. But do you want that instead of Ramon Michaels?
Well, that's what I'm saying now, is that the better path. You get Triple H, Michaels, and Heart Perfect. Oh, no, because we still wouldn't get Warrior Rude then.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I had Heart Perfect 4.5.
4.5, wow. I haven't watched it in a while. But I certainly have Ramon Michaels higher than it.
Well, I have that. But so what's the combo, right? So we have the Brainbusters tag at 4, right?
Yeah.
So that's 9. And then we have Heart Perfect. I mean, I have it 4.5. I probably have Shawn Triple H at, I think, like 4.5 or 4.25 or something like that.
Yeah, I probably got it about 4.5. I probably have it 4.25, 4 around there.
Yeah. All right, well, fuck Triple H anyway. All right, let's stick with
that. Yeah, don't let him on the list.
All right, so you think Boss Man Mountie?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, especially if you have the Heart Foundation earlier.
Right. Okay.
And then you get all the jail stuff, too.
I mean, the other option is you could change 90 and then do that 6-man.
At 90?
No, if you change 90 from Warlord Tito, you could do the 6-man from 91.
Yes, you could. Tito and Rock. You couldn't. Cause
you shaving
it's the
while you're talking?
No, does it sound like I'm shaving?
All kinds of something or other.
Oh, was it this?
Are you like, are you rubbing the microphone against your beard?
Not my beard.
Your face?
Nope.
All right, so I had that six man at 91-2.5.
Oh, that six man, yeah.
I had Boss Me Money at 3. Okay, let's go Boss Me Money.
Yeah. All right, and 92. You get all the theatrics afterwards,
of course,
which is awesome.
All of it. All right, 92. What jumps out at you?
92 is...
LOD Money Inc.?
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Never. Never. Look, I mean, I guess... No, you can't do it. We have the Mega Bucks.
That's right.
Oh, it's a shame.
It's buried.
The only thing that makes sense to me is Crush Repo Man.
I'll say, or Virgil Nails.
You could do... Look, honestly, it's a toss-up. Whatever you want to put there.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Crush Repo Man. The Battle of Demolition.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's funny because it... This kind of project, when I was looking at it earlier, it really ends up exposing like a lot of
the undercard.
That's it. A lot of how weak some of the cards are.
Right.
Once you get past the big matches.
Well, it's tough for a card like that where the best matches are title matches for something like this, right?
Yes.
You're better off with ones. I mean, you do okay with ones that have like the big matches, like that Cena Styles, Punk Lesnar, like, you know, where the big match doesn't have the title involved.
Yeah.
That's where. You know, that's where, like, the big, you know, those shows benefit. You hurt when 95 and, or 92, I mean, when the best matches, the title matches. All right, 93. Sucks that we can't do the Brett.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you know, if you move some stuff around, but it's not that good that you want to move it around. Like, Heart Foundation's Brainbuster is better than it, right?
I have the Heart versus Doink and Lawler whole shenanigans at 4.25.
4.25, good lord.
Well, you're the outlier, buddy, when you look at all these scores. Everyone else is 4, 4.25, and you're at 3.
Oh, really? Well.
So my point is, all right, could we do, so what is it? It would be Michael's Triple H. I feel like we should be marking down this alternate world, but it would be Michael's Triple H.
It's impossible.
All right, so it would be Michael's versus Triple H, Warrior versus Rude, and Hart versus Lawler Doink.
Yeah.
All right. So that is the alternative path to Ramon Michaels,
Heart Foundation Brainbusters. And I guess from 93 you get Steiners and Heavenly Bodies.
That's a title match.
Yeah.
So that's it? Using your tag titles there?
What are the other great tag title matches from SummerSlam?
96 is like the best one.
Yeah, that's true. But there's other good stuff on 96, so...
No, I mean, I can't think of one. I'll jump it off the top of my head. So,
yeah.
Unless you want to try and use TLC at 2000.
It's possible, but then you run into trouble later with some other stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, let's plug Steiner's Bodies in for now.
Yeah, and, well, we can look at the other route, too. I mean, what route looks better for you?
I don't know. I'm kind of liking the other one now that Hart, Lawler, Doink is in the mix.
Yeah,
because I really like Warrior Rude.
I do too. It's my favorite intercontinental match.
All right, let's get through 94 and 95, and then we can see where we're at.
Okay, like I don't know. I don't see what you guys see in the Hart Lawler Doink stuff. I just don't. It doesn't click for me for whatever reason.
It's fine.
I don't hate him. I just
94. Luger Tatanka.
Well, you could do Blaze Nakano.
And that's it for the women.
Yeah, because when I was looking at the women further down the line where it gets good, all those matches are disappointing, I find.
Okay. All right, let's do Blaze Nakano for now.
You get Banks and Alexa Bliss last year. You get Charlotte and I want to say Sasha the year before, but it's not that great.
Right. Okay. All right, Blaze Bull Nakano at 94. So 95, you know,
95,
if we didn't do that, we could do what, like Kid Hakushi?
Yeah, it just depends what you want to do later because, like, the reason why I had Kid Hakushi, but then I really thought long and hard about X-Pac Jarrett from 98.
Right.
Like, okay. What on 98 are you taking?
Right, I'll put Kid Hakushi in our alternate world right now.
Yeah. You know what we might want to think about for the Intercontinental as well is Rock Triple H.
Right.
But I don't know if I'd have it ahead of Michaels, Ramon, or Warrior Rude.
Right. No. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
All right. So 96. Sid Bulldog?
Yeah, obviously. Who are you talking to?
I mean, the other option is what, Marigoldus? I mean, we're not going to do that.
You could do Taker Mankind. Also, but I would see if you don't do Michael's root mm-hmm. Michael's Triple H in 97, you could do Mankind Triple H,
right?
Which is I quite like that match.
Yeah, no, me too. Because the other option you could do is 96, you could do Owen and Vega, and 97 do Shamrock and Bulldog, which I like a lot. But Mankind Helmsley is better.
Yeah, and I think Sid Bulldog is better than Owen Hart and Vega.
Mm. I had Owen Vega at 3, Sid Bulldog at 2.
I had Sid Bulldog at 3, well, and
that's
Owen Vega.
Sid juice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I'm counting the promo, the powerbomb where he killed
I also him. Like LOD Godwin's at 97.
I do too, actually. I think it's actually fine, all things considered.
All right, 98. Oh, we could do Shamrock Owen here.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And then you could, if you want to go back and fix the 95 stuff, you could put 123 Kid Hakushi. Or right. You do Jarrett X-Pac.
No, I'd want Shamrock Hart at 98. Because they're not going to get Owen again. That's it for him.
Yeah. All right. I'm
and
good with that.
I like that. That's a lot of fun, that match. We just watched it the other night. Yeah. All right. So what do we say? 90. Well, no, 95 is Ramon Michaels still.
Yeah. We'll leave it like that for now. Yeah, okay. Like 99 is obvious. It's Test Chain, right?
Yes. Obviously. Easily.
It's the best match on the show. And yeah. they don't do anything else.
Right.
Well, unless you count 2000, but.
All right. So 2000, what do you want to do here?
This is a hard one because, like, if you do the TLC,
yep.
You lose Edge, Christian, the Hardys later.
Yep. Do they have big right. stuff?
Depends. Well, like, Christian has the match with Orton at 2011.
Is Edge Taker for the title?
It is, but it's for the World Heavyweight title.
Okay, so you could do that.
But, like, if you were balancing between the two, I'd rather have Orton, Christian than Edge Taker.
Right.
What do you think about that?
No, I think that's fair.
And if you didn't want that for the World Heavyweight title, you also have Punk Hardy.
Right.
But again, those aren't.
Right. Like, what are other choices at 2000 then?
Okay. Well, we can't do Jericho Benoit because that's for the Intercontinental, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't do Shane Blackman. We can't do Rock Triple H Angle. We do Jerry Lawler and Taz. We do the RTC versus Too Cool. X-Pac Road Dogg, Cat Terry, or Undertaker Kane.
Oh, God. Taker Kane is fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's fucking garbage.
Chad at like 2.5. What the fuck is wrong with him?
We all have our moments.
I just feel like the TLC is...
it's the problem is the TLC is so good.
Right.
Like, but...
I think this makes our card so good.
Yeah. What but we already do? Also have a ladder match on the show.
Yeah, who cares? What would 93 be? If we took
93?
Off, if we took off Steiner's Beverly's.
Oh, that's less of a problem.
Jannetty Borga.
Yeah, it'd be Jannetty Borga.
Or even Kid
IRS. That's or Taker Gonzalez.
No, it's a bad one. All right, I'm changing this to Jannetty Borga and TLC for now. Let's see how we do.
Yeah, you could also do the six-man from 93.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Good yeah, point. That's okay.
Yeah, it's better than Jannetty Borga.
Yeah.
So what is it, Tatanka?
Tatanka and the Guns against Head Shrinkers and Bam Bam.
Right. We're not using the Outlaws or anything later.
No. They're terrible and everything.
All right. So 2000 we're with TLC. 2001 we're sticking with Austin Angle.
Yeah. 2002, Ric Flair Jericho.
Okay. We can't do Ray Angle.
Nope.
We can't do
Triple H Michaels.
We can't do Booker and Goldust.
Yeah.
Can't do Van Dam Benoit.
Yeah, we can't do Edge Guerrero.
I think it's going to be Flair Jericho's our only one.
Yeah. Which is weird. Fun. Like, yeah, it's just weird because it's like wildly considered the best SummerSlam.
I know, right.
And we're taking like the fifth or sixth best match.
Well, let's finish and then we can see if that other path makes it better.
Yeah.
All right, 03.
Yeah. So.
We already have Shane. Can't do-
No. We can't.
RVD Kane?
It's RVD Kane or Undertaker A-Train. I have RVD Kane a bit higher.
Yeah, let's go RVD Kane.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 04.
04, you could do the main event.
As your world title match? So you're willing to sacrifice Orton Christian for that?
Well, you can't have Orton Christian with the TLC.
Oh, right. And what was the other option?
It's Hardy Punk.
Okay. And then wasn't there another one? Oh, Taker Edge. We can't
Taker Edge. Yeah.
Okay.
So it might just be the best option there.
Okay. Let's put it there for now.
It's pretty good, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Like, I think we're better off with TLC in that than we would be with Taz and fucking Lawler and then Orton Christian. You know what I mean? Like, I think. Like, what's Orton Christian? 4.5?
Well, some would say 5. I wouldn't, but right. I'd probably go around 4.5.
Maybe a half star better than Benoit Orton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then TLC is like 5 stars better than Taz and King, right? So,
right.
All right. So 05. Taker. Oh, we just used Orton.
Taker Orton would be good.
We may have to. We may have to change something.
Yeah. Batista JBL is.
Title.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we have to do Taker Orton.
How 04? How about that opening 6-man? Oh, we can't use the Dudleys.
No.
Kane,
Matt Hardy.
No, we can't use. We already used Kane. We'd have to. No, and Matt Hardy.
You just Cena Booker. Oh no, we can't do Cena Booker.
Maybe stuck.
No. Yeah. Have we used Kane?
Yeah, we used Kane. RVD. But we used Hardy anyway.
Oh yeah. Right.
TLC.
Fuck! This is impossible. You see?
You could do Eugene Triple H.
No, Triple H is in the cage match with Mankind.
You could do
Undertaker JBL.
No, that's your world title match. We already have the WWE title. We're not using that.
Oh yeah, that's right. Fuck. I you know what? I associate Undertaker so much with the world heavyweight title that it.
Right. So 05, we literally can't do anything, right? If we use Orton in 04.
Right. But Orton is the only one we can use in 04.
Right. So, all right. So I think we have to kill TLC. I don't think there's any way around it.
Yeah.
Or we have to kill Mankind Triple H.
Well,
All right. So we could.
Okay. I guess kill Mankind Triple H.
So we could kill that and do LOD Godwins.
Right.
All right. Let's try that. And then sure. Triple H, Eugene. I mean, we're shafting Triple H. You should be happy.
Why?
All right, so Triple H versus Eugene. I don't know if this is better than what we had. If we were to dip, you know, we probably could ditch. At this point, we could probably kill TLC and make something better.
Probably just kill Triple H.
So 05 would then be Orton versus
Undertaker.
Yeah, okay.
Which is a good use of Undertaker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's like the anti-Mr. SummerSlam.
Right. All right, and we still have to figure out the world. We're back to needing the world heavyweight title, though.
We'll figure that out.
Okay. All right, 06.
Big Show Sabu?
It's probably the safest, right?
Yeah, I mean, because like originally I would think Foley Flair, but Flair's already fighting Jericho.
Right.
Unless you want to go back and take that one out.
Well, what's at 02 that we could use? It was nothing else, right? That was our only choice?
No, there might have been something. No. Flair, Jericho.
That was it.
Oh, yeah, no, that was it. So, yeah.
Okay, Sabu Show it is.
Was that for the ECW Championship?
It was, so we get that on there. All right, 07.
Okay.
Kane, oh, we can't use Kane Finley. Women's Battle Royal, who's in that? What the fuck is that on there?
Mysterio Chavo. But we might want Mysterio later.
Yeah, we could change 03 and use Kane Finley here.
We just do the Battle Royal.
Okay. Yeah, because we're using Taker anyway, so we don't have anything else at 03.
Is Batista Great Khali the World Heavyweight title?
Yes. We have to look at who's in that one's Battle Royal maybe after, if we get stuck. All right, 08.
Okay, 08. I would... Oh, no, we can't because of TLC. I was going to say MVP Jeff Hardy, but...
Mm-hmm. Kofi and Mickey, or Mickey and Beth in that Women's Battle Royal in 07?
It doesn't matter. It's for the Intercontinental title. Yeah.
I don't know why you wanted to do this. It's awful.
I didn't want to do this!
I think we got to kill TLC. We have to. I think we're stuck. You called it. We're stuck.
Yeah. All right, so put Taz Lawler, for Christ's sake.
Was that the only other option?
Hold on, let's go back. 2000. I mean, if you kill Test Shane, you could do Blackman Shane.
No, how about X-Pac Road Dog?
Sure, gets them both in the card.
All right. It sucks to lose DLC, but it's impossible. Those guys ruin everything else.
I know. All
right. So
they all want to become main eventers.
All right, so now I think we can change a bunch of stuff. So okay. When's Orton Christian? You want to do that in 11?
That's 11, yeah.
So we're going to have to change the Undertaker match, too.
Okay.
In 05. Actually, hang on. Before we do that, can we do that? Oh, I guess we could do Hardy Edge in 05. I was going to suggest Guerrero Edge in 02, but I think we have to probably do Hardy Edge in 05.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Does that open up anything else in 04 or 07 for us?
04.
Oh, well, 04, we can do that opening six man now. Unless you want to use Ray somewhere else.
Well, look, you probably want to use Ray in 2009 or 2010.
Okay.
Well,
what's 09? Is that the IC title, though?
09? Yeah, but is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, eh?
So we're not using that anyway.
Yeah.
And who's 10? Kane? We'll not do that.
No.
And 11, he's in that opener. Okay, let's just use that opener from 04 then.
Okay.
It's better than Triple H Eugene.
Yeah, and we can do Triple H somebody else later. 05 Hardy Edge, 06.
So if 05, if we could find something else, we could do Edge Guerrero at 02 and then open up Flair Foley in 06.
Yeah. So where are we looking? 05, you said?
I don't think we have anything else, though.
We could do Mysterio Guerrero in 05.
And not do that six man.
Yeah. But it's another ladder. Well, then again, we scrapped the ladder match.
Yeah. All right. So 05 Mysterio Guerrero. Yeah, because we don't have Eddie on there.
Yeah. We could do Kane, Matt Hardy in 04.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because Matt Hardy's not going to come back.
Then we got to change 03, though.
RVD Kane. Well, there was the other one. La Resistance. It was Undertaker A-Train. There's Undertaker if you want.
Yes, let's do that. This is way worse than having TLC.
Yeah.
We've added nothing of substance. Well, we added Orton Christian. That's about it so far.
Mysterio Guerrero is it's good.
Oh, you're right. That's good. Well, we still have Edge, too. Right? We haven't used him.
Yeah, but I don't know how we're going to use him.
Yeah. What's the N09?
Is he even there? I mean, isn't he hurt?
Yeah, he's not even in 09. In 10, is he in the main event at 10?
Yeah, which we're not touching anyway.
Yeah.
Well, 08, if you want, we can do MVP Jeff Hardy now.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely made this card way worse. There was no way around it, though. We were stuck.
No. Okay, 09.
Well, Christian. What if we... Can we use something else? Oh, no. Wow. I was going to say Hardy Punk, but I forgot we're using the title.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to use that title there. You could...
We could do Brian Barrett.
Or Sheamus Henry.
Yeah, because they're not practicing. Okay, so let's do Sheamus Henry at 11.
Yeah.
And Hardy Punk at 09.
Yeah. Wait, no, we can't do Punk. Fighting Lesnar at 13.
Oh, fuck. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's too many of these. It makes no sense.
So do we have nothing else in 09? Kane, Khali?
09. MVP Jack Swagger. Well, hold on. MVP Jack Swagger is the only thing we could do, but we have to change 08. Well, we could do Triple H, Great Khali at 08.
Is that for the title, though?
Oh, is it? Fuck. You're right, it is. Mark Henry versus Matt Hardy, but then we have to go back and change 04. It's these fucking Hardys. These Hardys are everywhere.
They are everywhere. They eat up all these non-title matches.
Look, Jericho and Crime Time. I know they're used too, aren't they?
It's the tag title. So actually, we haven't had the tag titles, have we?
Yeah, we did the Steiners and the...
Yeah, we can't.
Oh, no, we took that away.
Yeah, we'd have to change 02. We need to do the tag titles, by the way. We're supposed to use every title. We'd have to change 02 and 06 if we did that, though.
Is there no tag title at 08?
Who does Christian and Storm? So we're not. Oh, we are using Christian. I'll say O2. Could we do Booker and Goldust?
Well, look, the tag titles, if you want, you could do 2017. Which Cesaro and Sheamus against Ambrose and Rollins.
Okay, good enough. Okay, good. That's dumb. All right.
Wait, hold on. Do we have to use the Universal title?
No. I think just the big ones. How many times has that been defended? Twice? I'm not using that. I mean, that's crazy to be forced into that.
Do we have to use the European title?
I mean, for the Universal, we'd have to use 16, right? And we're not doing that. Or we'd have to use last year.
Or 17, yeah. Last year's is good, but then you lose Punk Lesnar.
Yeah, we're not losing that for that shit. No, it's fine. We get two world titles. We get the IC. We get the big ones. Tag.
All right. Are you just looking at 15 now? Are we trying to work our way to the middle?
I'm trying to avoid talking about 08, 09.
Because it makes no sense. Okay, well, look, 15, you could do Owen. I mean, you can't do Owen Cesaro. You could do the women's three teams, but I'm not too big on that. You could do Neville and Stephen Amell against Stardust and Wade Barrett. You could do Ziggler versus Rusev, but I think you're going to need Ziggler earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we there's no other tag matches titles to use. Can we use New Day? Oh no, we're using 16. Is there any of the tag titles in here anywhere? 14 is no tag title.
I mean, you could use the New Day with the Primetime Players and Matadors and Luchas. Then you got to just find something else from 17.
No, because I'm trying to find a way to use Cesaro and Owens at 15. But we'd have to find a tag title match.
Well, yeah, you can do the Primetime Players, the New Day, Matadors, and Luchas.
No,
at
it's
15.
The same show. I'm saying Cesaro.
Oh, 15. Okay. Yeah. No.
Fucking moron. So we could do 12. We could do is Kingston and Truth versus Primetime Players. Is that tag titles?
I think so.
Because that's a tough show anyway.
Yeah.
So we could use that as our tag.
We could also do Miz Mysterio here.
No, we are using Mysterio in 05.
Oh, that's right, against Guerrero.
No, I think we do that. And then at 15, we do Cesaro Owens, which is pretty good.
Yeah, and then 17.
Nakamura and Jinder. That's for the title.
It's with Balor and Wyatt.
Yeah, or Naomi and Natalya, if you want the modern women's title on there.
Sure. I'd rather do Balor and Wyatt, I guess, than...
Yeah. Okay.
Then again, would I?
I don't know. Well, we have the women, 94? We have that title.
Yeah.
All right. So Balor versus Wyatt.
So now what are we at, 14?
I mean, how good was that Bar versus Shield match? Is it better than Cesaro Owens?
Similar, I think.
Oh, I just didn't know if we're better with that tag title in 17 with something else from 15. We'd have to probably do the women from 15.
Right, and that's the shitty... I mean, it's not bad, but it's not good either.
Or we could do the Neville thing.
Yeah, you do have that celebrity thing, which is interesting.
All right, so what's better, Neville with the Bar match or Balor Wyatt with Cesaro Owens?
I would say Neville with the Bar match.
Okay. Yeah, well, then we lose Kingston Truth. Is there anything else from 12 before we do that?
Let's look. We can't do Mysterio. We have Jericho on the card.
Yeah, against Flair.
Yeah.
I think we're stuck. I think we're just going to use that.
Oh, we can do... No, we can't do Kane. Yeah, we have to do it this way. All right, 14. Why don't we do Rusev Jack Swagger
okay.
for the U.S. title?
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
I like that match.
All right, 09 and 10. And then we're done.
This fun exercise that we've done. can't...
I think we're Melina Alicia Fox, the iconic match
Divas.
Of 10.
Yep.
Is that for the Divas title?
Yep.
Okay.
It is in this, so we can just be done with this. And then 09. Okay. We have Kane, yes. We have Christian. We have Orton. We have Triple H on the card, right?
Yeah.
No, we don't. We don't have Triple H.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
No, we don't.
Wait, so why do we end up changing LOD? Oh, we can put that back because we didn't make those changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
MVP Swagger. Mysterio Ziggler. Well, that's the IC.
Yeah.
I think we're fucked.
I mean, look. What we'd have to, like...
Can we do King Khali and change 04?
What in 04 could we use? Triple H Eugene? No, he's there.
Well, we could do LOD Godwin's Triple H Eugene. And then... King Khali.
Ugh.
And I think we're stuck otherwise. Unless we change 05.
Mysterio Guerrero?
Yeah.
This is just depressing me. Like it's just depressing.
There's too many puzzle pieces because then we can't even go back. Because now if we say, well, what if we did Edge and Hardy? Then we're gonna.
Well, we gotta redo the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I know.
Like it makes no sense. Like, look, who's Mr. SummerSlam?
Look, we knew we were going to have a bunch of crap on the card.
Right, yeah, no I know, but I didn't realize we have to sacrifice this many good things.
Yeah, I know.
It's like everything good and pure in the world is gone. Fucking Godwins and LOD, we better put that on. Cage match. So that we can sneak on the great Khali and Kane. There's so many good matches that we can't have. Like, look. Like,
I know.
Okay. 88, it's not the best match. 89, it's not the best match. 90, it's not the best match. 91, it's not the best match. 92, it's not the best match. 93, it's not. 94. 95, it is. 96, it's not. 97, it's not. 98, it's not. 99, it is. 2000, it's not. 01, it is. So 2002, no. 3, no. 4, no. 5, no. 6, no. 7, no. 8, no. 9, we don't even know. 10, 11, no. 12, no. 13, debatable.
All right, so 3.5, we have the best matches.
Out of 30. 10%, we've made the worst. We made the worst card of all time.
Good stuff.
John Cena, Dan O'Brien isn't on the card, and Crush versus Repo Man is.
Well, Cena Styles might be the best in 16, so that's 4.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're right. You're right, this whole thing is validated now.
It's a great match.
Yeah, I love how you're highlighting Kingston and Truth as though that's going to fucking change anything. Because we've got to have that title match.
All right, look. 09.
Yep.
If we do King Khali there.
Okay, put it.
Then we're going to change 04.
Kane Hardy in 04. All right, work backwards.
So can we do Edge Hardy in 05? Because we don't have Edge, right?
Look, simple. Look, do... Benoit Orton.
Then you change 11.
Yeah, and then you do Sheamus. We can't do Sheamus. Yeah, we can.
We can. Okay. Sheamus Henry.
Yeah, we did it.
That's actually not bad. I think we made it a little bit better now. Because we added Edge and Hardy, which is good. We added Sheamus Henry, which is good. Right?
I guess. We cut Rey Mysterio from the card.
Hmm. Well, can we get him in anywhere?
Wait, 2012, he fights The Miz, but then we don't have a tag match.
Well, can we go back? No, because we want Benoit Orton. Because 04 now, we could do that six-man.
Yeah, but then we don't have a World Heavyweight title match.
Well, can we add it back in anywhere else?
We get rid of Benoit Orton, and then we could do...
Christian Orton.
Yeah, okay.
All right, hang on. Why didn't we think of that before, though? I feel like we're missing something.
Because it's so many. We're trying to balance 30 cards.
All right.
Don't call it the walk heavyweight title.
So 11 is Christian Orton.
Yeah.
And 04, we said we'll do Mysterio.
Yeah. London, Ken.
All right, that's good. That's a good match.
Okay, so let's go over this card.
All right, so, make sure we didn't fuck anything up.
1988, Mega Powers, Mega Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Second best match on the card.
What's your best?
Warrior Honky.
Yeah, it's the best match. I mean, it's the best moment. Whatever. It's probably the best match.
Warrior Honky is perfect.
Go on. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect? What
go on. I'm not here to debate that merit right now.
Hart Foundation, Brain Busters.
Mm-hmm.
Second best match on the card?
Yeah.
Third behind the six man. Second. I would say second.
Yeah, probably second.
Tito Santana, Warlord?
Best.
Yep, obviously. Boss Man, Mountie?
No.
Crush Repo?
No.
Tatanka and the Smoking Guns against the Head Shrinkers and Bam Bam Bigelow.
I'm waiting to find out we have like Fatu somewhere in here, somewhere else.
Or something. Don't. Shh. There's a difference between Head Shrinker Fatu and Rikishi. All right. Alundra Blaze versus Bull Naka 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 No.
Mm-hmm.
Ramon Michaels. Okay, but that's a good one. Sid Bulldog. Shut up. Mankind Triple H. Kate. Shamrock Heart. Test versus Shane McMahon. Classic X-Pac versus Road Dogg encounter from 2000. Steve Austin versus Angle, the title match without a finish. Ric Flair, Chris Jericho, Undertaker, A-Train. Ugh. The six-man we just talked about, Mysterio, London Kid, versus the Dudley Boys. Edge versus Hardy. Terrible finish. Sabu versus Big Show, ECW. The Women's Battle Royal. Is Melina or Alicia Fox in that Battle Royal?
Oh, shit. What year is that, 07?
07. Can you just lie to me?
I don't... Melina's in it.
Ah,
Look, I don't know if there's another way around it. We might just have to deal with that one imperfection.
No, well, of all the people, we're going to put fucking Melina on the card twice?
Well, all right, what's 2010 got then? You got to find something else.
Come on.
Is Kingston Dolph as IC?
Yeah, I think it is.
There's not enough matches. 07 is going to change.
Is there anything on 07 we can't? I don't think there is.
We could go Mysterio Chavo and then change 04 back again. Kane it. Finley?
But we have
no, 09. Fuck.
Okay, we needed Kane Kali.
Can we do MVP Swagger at 09? No, we get MVP Hardy. What else? Anything else at 08?
Can we have Cena? Can we just have John Cena on the card twice?
Getting hives. 08.
Look, we don't have a match where the Intercontinental and Women's is in the same match. But then again, we're going to get fucked by either Mickey or Beth Phoenix being in. She's in the Battle Royal. So.
They both are.
Look, I think it's an executive decision time. We just put John Cena on the card twice at 08.
No, I think it's just Melina's in the Battle Royal. It's fine. She can wrestle a Battle
Royal. You better
Royal
have Melina on the card twice.
It's
John
not really
Cena.
In the Battle Royal. She's not really in it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's fine. You can't have two showcase singles. Man. I mean, we'd have to really go back. I mean, I don't even know what we would do. We'd have to do 07. We'd have to do Mysterio.
String for Bret Hart to have two matches on the card.
Look, we'd have to do Mysterio and what did I say? Chavo at 07.
I don't want to do that either.
And then 04. I think we'd be stuck with 04, right? We'd have to go back to... Well, we could do Sheamus, Henry, Benoit, Orton. That's the fix.
Okay.
So Benoit, Orton, back to 04.
Okay, so Benoit, Orton. Sheamus, Henry.
At 11.
Okay. How does this fix it?
And then Mysterio.
I was just thinking the card work.
No. Kane Finley at 07.
Okay.
And then 09. Who is Ray fight?
It's for the Intercontinental. We can't do it.
No, I was thinking something else. Hang on. Shut up.
You asked me a question.
I had it in my head now. I lost it. What was I thinking we had to open up Ray for?
Miz at 2012?
No, that doesn't help.
He fights Kane at 2010.
Yes, we could do that.
But you just put Kane Finley in 07.
No, we can change that to the Women's Battle Royal. Then we get a little Melina here.
Right.
No, but is that the title, though? Ray Kane? It is. Is it?
Yeah, it is.
I feel like I had something else, though, in my head.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Gotta finish.
How?
I had something in my head when I freed up Ray. Oh, Ray Chavo, 107. That's what it was. So now we're good. Right?
Great. Sure.
We made the card worse, but we got Molina off. Molina really fucked us up. Because we could at least had Orton Christian. Now we got Benoit Orton and stupid Ray Chavo.
Okay, so 2004 Benoit Orton, 2005 Edge Hardy, 2006 Sabu Show, 2007 Mysterio Guerrero, 2008 MVP Jeff Hardy, 2009 Kane Kali, Molina versus Alicia Fox.
Of course.
Sheamus versus Mark Henry. Kingston and Truth versus the Primetime Players, Punk versus Lesnar, Rusev Swagger, Cesaro, Owens, Cena Styles, Balor Wyatt.
We did it.
Yeah, we sure did.
We did it.
Good job. I would challenge any of you to make a better one. I'm sure you can.
Well, would it be better now with the Michaels, Triple H, Warrior Rude, Hart, Lawler, Doink, Kid Hakushi?
Are you fucking kidding me? Are we restarting all of that?
Actually, we could swap those all in clean, but that's fine.
Really? We could? That's kind of funny.
Because we don't. No, we'd have to change 97 as well to LOD Godwins. So it would become 89 would become Warrior
goddamn
Rude.
LOD Godwins. You're just trying to get it.
89 would become Warrior Rude. 93 would be Brett, Doink, Lawler. 95 would have to change.
Wait. We can't have Brett wrestle twice.
No, we're taking 89 out. We're making it Warrior Rude.
No, in 93.
95, you could do Horowitz Skip.
Two matches, two separate opponents.
No, Kid Hakushi at 95. All right, so here's the alternative path. Warrior Rude at 89.
Yeah.
Brett Doink Lawler at 93. Kid Hakushi at 95. LOD Godwins at 97. And Michaels, Triple H in 02.
Then you could open up Jericho and Ziggler in 2012.
Yeah. You think it's this better path?
I don't know. The best match of that is Ramon Michaels, right, which we lose. Mm-hmm. Mankind Triple H is – no, then it's – the two best matches is probably Warrior Rude and Ramon Michaels. Michaels is higher. Then the next two are probably –
Triple H, Shawn.
Right. And
– Hart's Brainbusters.
Yeah. That's kind of a wash. For me, anyway. And then you have Mankind, Triple H, and
Jericho. Oh, yeah, the Brett stuff.
Brett stuff. Now, I'd have Mankind. I think we'd probably have the opposite view on what trumps there.
And then you'd have the Jericho, Ziggler versus Kid and... Well, no, because you'd gain Kid and Hakushi and Jericho, Ziggler.
Yeah, but you'd lose a tag match. You'd have to find a tag team title match somewhere.
Right. Well, you could change 93 to Steiner's Bodies.
Leave Bret Hart off the card.
Oh, right. Forget about that.
Greg Phillips is fucking screaming at me right now.
We could do Natural Disasters Beverly Brothers in 92.
No, we can't. We can't.
All right. This is
we can't and we won't.
All right. We'll be back after this. We're done. We've broken our brains. The SummerSlam.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17. Was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and placefornation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Hi, Place of Nation, we're back. We've taken a nap. My headache went away. And we're going to do our final segment. Aaron, we're going kind of long tonight, so I think we're going to put a pin in the top five. Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that. My head is still pounding.
Okay, so we're going to skip that. We're going to do a quick pop culture segment tonight because it's very timely. We want to make sure we discuss this. And that is the greatest song of the 80s tournament going on at PlayStation.com. Within the next day or so, we're going to be launching round two. Round one is done. So we're going to discuss some of the results in round one. And then we'll hop you up for round two, which is going to be coming up. So why don't you lead us here, Aaron? What do you want to talk about tonight?
Sure. I mean, like, I had one of the tasks of, like, kind of tabulating everything at the end.
Yeah.
And so, which was really cool because, like, I'm really into this music, right? Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to see what kind of did make the cut, what didn't for the next part, what was the top rated songs and stuff like that. And you know, the way I approached it, trying to figure it out, was like who was the most successful song in the first round, who was the least, et cetera.
Yep.
As I worked on it through, I mean, obviously the ones that got the top five votes in each category go through. But in terms of tiering them for the next round and seeing who was most successful, I went on percentage of votes.
Okay, yep.
So for instance, you know, if a category had 100, all of them had way more. If a category had 100 and they had 90, then they got 90% of the vote, kind of thing. And then I kind of went like that. And I thought it was really interesting, the songs that kind of finished quite high in this regard. But before I get to those, I did want to ask you quickly,
mm-hmm.
Just off the top of your head, who would be your guess for the artist that has the most songs going into the next round of 320?
I'd have to kind of know who had a lot of songs, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say, like, Elton John, but I don't know how many he actually had. Guns N' Roses probably have a bunch. Michael Jackson.
Elton John has two going forward.
Okay. Is that high or low compared to, like, the most?
It's mid-range.
Okay.
Like, Guns N' Roses has five,
yep.
Which is near the top. Michael Jackson has seven, but you still haven't knocked on the one who has the most.
And how many is that?
Eight.
Eight? Who the fuck had eight?
I know. And it's one that, like, you're going to kick yourself.
It's not Queen, is it?
No, Queen only had three.
Okay. It's not my man Kenny Loggins.
No. No.
It's not fucking Sadly. Billy Joel, right?
We're going to talk about Billy Joel.
Hall & Oates?
Nope.
Madonna?
It is Madonna.
Okay.
Madonna has eight going through.
Interesting.
Hall & Oates has 5. I didn't calculate Hall & Oates. And another big high one is Prince at 6.
Right.
So that was really interesting. It's funny you bring up Billy Joel, because one of the through lines for this tournament that I've seen so far is the complete disrespect shown to Billy Joel. I don't know what it is, but like, I think only one of his songs got through.
I've used the Trump-esque propaganda machine. I think I've subconsciously put it in anyone's head, if they vote for Billy Joel, I'm going to hate them. Because I've been trolling in the live chats about it. And it's actually worked. I swear, people, I mean, look, not everyone's in the live chats that's voting, so people obviously aren't voting for him anyway. Like, were any real close?
Billy Joel, no. Like, okay, Uptown Girl made it. We Didn't Start the Fire made it. That's it. Like, the other one that was close was – not even close, The Longest Time, but it wasn't even that close. It was like 20 votes out. So, I mean, you can go – you can probably make a case that, like, you helped.
Billy
but
Joel,
I don't know.
Joel Duop sucks, man.
Yeah. Like, I'm quite surprised. Like, and even – like,
not,
Uptown...
though, because it's not his best songs. Like, I mean, I think we project Scott – is it like love of it so much, I would just assume like it's gonna like kill. But I don't think there's like a ton of 80s Billy Joel fans. I don't know. That's just my feeling. So here are the ones that he had in the tournament. So he had Longest Time is out, right? You said?
Yeah.
Uptown Girl?
It's in.
We Didn't Start the
Fire.
And
it did well. Uptown Girl, like in its category, got 77% of the vote. Which is good.
Right. We Didn't Start the Fire is in, right?
Yep.
A Matter of Trust is like, is that even any good?
Nah.
Right. So, not a shock here. I like Keeping the Faith, but it wasn't going to stand against any major song. And then Tell Her About It is kind of lame. So, I mean, I think the two best ones moved on. The Longest Time is probably the only one you could say maybe got a little hosed.
Like, look, Uptown Girl finished behind Heaven Is a Place on Earth.
That's okay.
That doesn't feel right to me. It also fell behind 1999, but there was a lot of Prince love in the first round as well.
All right, so here's who Longest Time was up against. I Want to Know What Love Is, instant in. Listen to Your Heart, did that make it in?
Let me find it. Longest Time. What group is Longest Time?
This is all B.
B.
And this is before the big Billy Joel rage even started.
Right.
So, can't blame me on this one. So
Walk This Way. This Way is huge. Hysteria is not a huge song, but it was one of the biggest albums of the 80s.
I Like About You, did that make
it? And Listen to Your Heart.
Okay. I mean, I don't think there's any huge upset there with Longest Time. I mean, you could maybe say Roxette, but that's a pretty big one.
Kind of surprised Hysteria is got in.
The majority of the fucking people of Placement Nation are like metalheads. Like, they're like huge Def Leppard fans. Like,
you would think that they're metalheads, but another thing I noticed is that all of the Iron Maiden songs got eliminated.
Yeah. But I think Def Leppard's like next. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Def Leppard and Guns N' Roses is like the two of the biggest bands.
Pussy metal.
Fan wise.
Def Leppard. Like, and I say that with like, right. Def Leppard was the first concert I ever went to and I love them. Like, but like, it's funny that like, you would classify that as a metalhead, but then Iron Maiden comes up with zero.
Yeah. Okay. So my point is, metalhead was probably too strong. I think, from my knowledge of the people that are likely voting, a lot are Def Leppard and Guns N' Roses fans. So like, it does not surprise me that any Def Leppard song made it in. I don't think there's any song egregiously knocked out Longest Time. So, and then the other Billy Joel songs I think are hit or miss. So I think his two big ones got in, and this one just was in a tough group.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm ending the myth. I'm calling it a fact that Billy Joel did okay in this tournament. It's not a myth. It's a myth that he was hosed. It's not a fact.
Oh, I never said he was hosed. I think it's just interesting that, like, because I've seen the hate that you've been spewing.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It has been going on for the longest time. So the song that for me, that had the most successful song in the tournament percentage wise was "Sweet Child of Mine" by Guns N' Roses.
Not a surprise. Which
it's not surprising. I'm not happy with it.
No?
I don't really like I don't know. I'm not a huge – how are you with Guns N' Roses? I'm not a big Guns N' Roses guy.
No, I mean, me neither. Is that – did they get the Step Brothers bump?
I think it might have also gotten the Wrestler bump.
Right.
You know, it's funny, we talk about bumps. There's a couple songs that I noticed that seem to benefit from bumps. Like a song like Hearts on Fire,
mm-hmm.
like for sure got the Rocky bump. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It snuck in.
100%.
And the other one – The other one that I noticed too is Cult of Personality. And not that Cult of Personality is a bad song. I think it's great.
100% the punk bump.
Yeah, no shit, right? Like, yeah. It's almost got no business
so
up there.
So here's AC. This is where Sweet Child of Mine was with. Can't Fight This Feeling. Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Lawyers in Love. What I Am. Dirk Commissar. Ship of Fools. I Love Rock and Roll. Mr. Telephone Man. Gotta Be Someone's Baby. So, I mean, it's an easy top five.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is that's a real top-heavy group.
Yeah.
Like, the crap is crap. You know what I mean? Like, what advanced there? Can't Fight This Feeling obviously moved on, right?
Look, the order was Sweet Child of Mine,
yep.
I Love Rock and Roll, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore, and Gotta Be Somebody's Baby.
Wow, After the Fire didn't make it, huh?
No. No.
I can't believe Jackson Browne made it.
Yeah, it's strange. And it's funny. It made it with like 49% of the vote too, which isn't even near the bottom.
That's what I'm saying. That's such a – I think it's such a disparate group that's why – I think that's why Sweet Child of Mine romped. It was just like an easy click. I mean, there was no debate at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very possible. Like, I could see that. I mean, other songs that did really well near the top, like there's only five songs that got 90% of the vote. It's Sweet Child of Mine, Eye of the Tiger, Living on a Prayer, Take on Me, and Beat It.
Yeah, and I think all five are legit. At least, I mean, we talked about Eye of the Tiger being a sneaky contender for the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see that because, like, especially when you get down to the next, well, not this stage, because this stage, when going forward, for those of you who are going to keep voting, you're now voting for four songs out of the 10.
Right.
But then when we get to the next round, when you're voting it against something else, I mean, that opening of Rocky III is maybe the best opening to any movie ever.
Right.
You know, with the fireworks and that song playing and then the recap in the movies. What I like too is like, you know, like almost at 90% is a song we talked about, Under Pressure, talking about like the best song that wouldn't necessarily win. I was quite pleased to see that one go higher.
So I'm looking at the top like 20, 21 percentage wise. I don't think any of those are crazy. I'm even going 23, 24, 25, 26. I think Cult of Personality is probably the first one that really comes up that's like, and that's 29. So, I mean, the top 28, I think, are pretty much like some of the top ones you would expect, right? Did any stand out to you?
No. Addicted to Love.
Yeah.
Feels a bit high.
How about Rebel Yell?
Yeah, but Billy Idol was big. Where is Don't Stop Believing? I keep going over it and...
Oh, yeah, I don't see that.
It should be there.
52nd. It had 82%. So what was that up against? Let's see. That's Group AM.
Well,
So you had Man in the Mirror, Hungry Like the Wolf, Rome, Since You're Gone, Wild Wild West, Strange Love, Don't Stop Believing, We Didn't Start the Fire, Fame, and A Matter of Trust.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. Here's one. I was surprised Hungry Like the Wolf beat it by that much. It beat it by like something like 10 votes or 11 votes or no, close to 20 votes actually.
See, I'm putting Duran Duran in the mix with Guns N' Roses and Def Leppard in like the target zone of the PTBN listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
And readers.
And it's funny because I brought in a couple of people who don't listen to PTBN to vote and their first complaint was, where is Duran Duran?
Right. Yeah.
Because in the first groups, he just wasn't there for whatever reason. Right. So, yeah. But they don't actually have that many that went through. I think they only had like three or four that went through. But they're big songs. I was just surprised at how much it beat it by more than anything else.
I mean, I think there's some burnout with Don't Stop Believing.
It's possible, yeah.
I think – I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I even voted for it. I'd have been one of the ones because I would have voted for Man in the Mirror, Hungry Like the Wolf, Fame. I probably did.
You had to have voted. Yeah. If you didn't vote for it, you're just wrong.
Right. No, I probably did, but I could see the burnout on that song for sure. If someone's just like, I can't even fucking listen to it anymore. It's like, this has been everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, also too, like this ranking of percentages too, it's all relative to who they were against.
Correct. Yeah.
So here's some songs that just made the cut.
Okay.
So Back in the High Life by Steen Winwood.
Yes.
Lost by one vote.
Oh.
Yeah, one vote and one vote alone.
Let me go back in and vote. Hang on. Who did we lose to?
It's closed. It's closed. I Want to Rock by Twisted Sister, lost by six.
Wow.
Which, I mean, it's not a lot. I thought that one would go through.
So wait, what was that? What group was that in? Do you have it?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me right now.
All right, hang on. I'll find it. Because I'm curious what that lost to.
It lost to These Dreams by Heart.
Okay, well, here's the group. It was Group H. You had Get It On, Neutron Dance, What's Love Got to Do With It, Me, Myself, and I, Fade to Black, Total Eclipse of the Heart, In the Air Tonight, I Want to Rock, Maniac, and These Dreams. I mean, that's a tough one. So what made it out of that one? Maniac, In the Air Tonight?
No, In the Air Tonight won it.
Yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Heart second, What's Love Got to Do With It third, Fade to Black, and These Dreams.
Wow, so Maniac didn't make it, and fucking De La got hosed, of course, but...
Yeah, see, I would have I Want to Rock ahead of These Dreams for me, and maybe ahead of Fade to Black.
Like, I would have Maniac above all those.
Oh, that's possible, too. Yeah. Morning Train, missed by one vote.
Poor Sheena.
Yeah, poor Sheena. And a ridiculous one, Real American, missed the cut by four votes.
See, that surprises me. Yeah. It shows that we actually maybe had a bunch of non-wrestling fans.
Yeah. Well, I remember I have a buddy who was a musician in the 80s and part of like glam bands and stuff. And when I told him that Real American was in the competition, he was very derisive about the whole project. Like, what the fuck? And this is also a man that I got to play Real American as part of a Shakespeare musical. So he's not completely dismissive of it.
So what won that group? We have How Soon Is It Now, Burning Down the House, I Ran, We Got the Beat, what, Crazy Train. I mean, it's
what
a
category?
Tough one. V. Never Surrender, I Think We're Alone Now. I mean, it's kind of a tough category. It's kind of a tough group.
I Ran 1, Burning Down the House 2, Crazy Train 3, We Got the Beat 4, I Think We're Alone Now 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's
We Got the Beat, I Think We're Alone Now, we're tied, actually.
It's tough to argue those five.
No, and especially against Real American, which wasn't really a song that, like, was a song. It's not really a song.
Yeah, for Real American to have advanced, it would have needed, like, it really needed a big cupcake group. How did Fishheads do with Alan Hunter?
Oh, it got nothing. It got nothing. I Want to Break Free by Queen, this by four votes, which isn't a lot. And then in the same group that I think it was Hangin' Tough beat Hangin' Tough beat Modern Love by David Bowie by four votes and Dirty Diana by Michael Jackson by five.
It didn't shock me. New Kids moved on.
No, but it was the only one that moved on.
Yeah.
A View to a Kill from Duran Duran lost out by four votes. It Takes Two lost by three. And lost by four votes to That's All by Genesis.
I'm okay with that. That's all a good song.
Yeah, I mean, like, those were the closest ones. Like, to me, the ones that kind of fell out of contention that I thought were interesting, I thought Oh Sherry getting eliminated was interesting. That's a really good one. We talked about last time, we were like, Don't Change. There's no love for Skid Row on this list. Youth Gone Wild and 18 in Life got kicked out. Don't Worry, Be Happy, I thought would move on. Knocked out. Human Nature by Michael Jackson too. I guess like Michael Jackson, there's just so many options.
Right.
Big one that I thought would go through was We Are the World. That kind of surprised me that it didn't go out. And Gary Newman's Cars too. You would think that that's a pretty big one also. And
what
then
did,
I mean like
Carrie do?
Sorry, what?
Mister. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Is it Kyrie? Carrie? Kari?
I'm not sure. You'd have to. In my spreadsheets, I only have the top five. So you tell me what group it's in. I can tell you what beat it. But.
BJ. But
BJ. Nice group. Nice.
I had China Girl, We Built the City, Bust a Move, Boys of Summer, Fascination, Open Your Heart, Mister, Must Have Been Love, Sign of the Times, Mad World.
Yeah, and the winners of that group were. The winner was The Boys of Summer. We Built the City was two. Bust a Move was three. Mad World was four. Must Have Been Love was five. But Must Have Been Love and what was the other one you named?
Carrie.
No, it was a different one. There was a tie. When the voting closed, there was a tie.
Fascination, Open Your Heart.
Nope.
China Girl.
China Girl, that's it. So China Girl got in another group. Because, guys, we also, over the course of it, we had two songs that were disqualified. One was Heartbreaker. Because it was released in the 70s. And at another point, we for some reason, it must have been you, we had Careless Whisper twice in two groups.
I'm in this!
Yeah. So there were two,
dumb Canadian
two ties.
Bitch.
There were two ties, and one of them was China Girl. So that went up for that one. So yeah, like I thought it was really interesting first round. I thought it was a lot of fun, and like it was cool what made it, what didn't. And the next groups coming up should be interesting too. Like we tried to tier it so that the strongest, none of the strongest songs are together, but
right.
You know how that works. The song that got the worst percentage wise was Heaven by Warrant, which was 35%.
And that advanced?
Yeah, it advanced. That was the worst one. So it was for sure in a weak group.
Right. Yeah, that's
even
shitty.
Even a song like Fame is pretty low, and like it's funny because now even in these bottom groups, like now we've kind of cleared out any of the obscure songs.
Right. Oh yeah, now it's just the known. I mean, you could argue all 320 of these are like, you know, at some level of contention for like a really good to great 80 song, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's not many on this list that you would say, what the fuck is this doing in like the next round? You know, like not that many really.
No, you for sure heard them.
Right.
Like, I mean, hopefully you heard them all because you listened to them all before you vote. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I mean, even if I just look at number 241 to 243 and it's like Black Velvet, Do They Know It's Christmas, Cruel right. Summer, you know, like these are huge songs. So, So yeah, I hope everybody keeps voting. Keep it going. I can't wait to see what the upsets of this one are going to be. Who's going to really take it in this one, and who's going to be the top team coming out? Top song coming out. And it's really going to be interesting to see what shakes down for the one-on-one matchups, because that's when I think
right.
That's when you'll see some real upsets, because that's where all the nostalgia will kick in and you'll feel bad about voting out.
So that'll be the 128 that make it out of this round will be ranked into a tournament. Yeah. And we'll be seeding them, right? So we're not going to do random. So it'll be based on probably percentage of votes for the next round.
Yeah, well, this round here also wasn't random.
Oh, no,
like,
right.
I seeded them by percentage. So, like, Sweet Child of Mine, which is had the most, is in with Warrant.
Right, okay.
You know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Okay. So we'll see. Yeah, but that's when it will really start to get the thing, you know, battle. So is there any – what's standing out to you right now as, like, a potential contender that maybe you didn't think of before?
Take On Me.
Yep.
Not that I knew it was a big song, but I wouldn't have imagined it to finish that high. I've forgotten about Don't You Forget About Me.
How'd you forget about that?
I don't know. I didn't even do that on purpose. So that one. And I was kind of surprised to see that Beat It got more votes than Thriller. And and that one's a direct competition. They're in the same group.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that one was kind of a
not by much though. It was a couple votes.
Yeah, but that's kind of a surprise. Like I was looking at Thriller as the Michael Jackson favorite, but
right.
So
how about Final Countdown?
I think it's really cool. Like I have it. I think it's like the 11th.
Yeah.
One that got the most votes. I think that's awesome that it finished that high. I'd be surprised if it won. But I at this point, when songs like Take On Me, Hungry Like the Wolf, Under Pressure are in the top 10, that's to me, that's already surprising.
Are you surprised Toto is at 21, Africa? Is that low?
No, that feels right. Like, when you told me last time that, like, you had a friend that was like, Africa's going to win, that felt surprising for me.
Give me a dark horse from, like, the middle, like, the 100 range. You know what I mean? Like, the 100 to 200 range. Like, that real mid-tier. Is there any potential one that could sneak in and be, like, a troublemaker?
Well, looking at the round 100, I got Walk This Way and Run DMC and Aerosmith. Maybe Let's Dance, David Bowie.
I got one at 168.
What is it?
I'm still standing by Elton John. it got a lot of votes, even though the percentage it was in the first group. It also like was kind of talked about a lot, like amongst our group. You know what I mean? Like as a like kind of underrated song. It's also heavily featured in Sing, which has kind of like made it make a comeback, I think, in a way.
Right.
So like, I don't want to count it out. Like, if it got in the right group and then all of a sudden got a like favorable draw, like if it's in the 139 range and say it washes out and it's in the middle, like it could catch a fire in a couple rounds if it, you know, catches like other songs that are kind of around the same level. It's kind of like a sneaky dark horse to me.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. Look, I would be surprised if it didn't get through the next round.
Right.
because even though it's like past technically the halfway point, mm-hmm. like there are songs here like I don't know, like is Wild Thing by Tone Loc really gonna
right
get through it, even though it's at 114, you know?
Pump up.
I'm always surprised too, but the number of songs that I associate more with the 70s that are here,
mm-hmm.
like Celebration, Funky Town,
right.
So we'll see if that kind of plays in later, where it doesn't really have an 80s feel anymore.
Right.
Okay. What about You Make My Dreams Come True?
I think it has a shot.
Yeah.
I think any Hall & Oates, really. You never know.
Like, Hall & Oates?
Hall & Oates? You know, it really all comes down to the draw. I mean, that's all it is, so.
Sure.
And the voters, like, who happens to turn out that day, what they like. So right. It'll be interesting. So it'll be up this week, probably Wednesday. Round two is going to start. So be sure to check. It'll be on our social media. Keep voting. It's been a lot of fun, and we want to keep the momentum going to the end. Like, don't. Hopefully, you didn't get burnt out on round one, but now is where it really starts to get close. Like Aaron said, we've eliminated a lot of the chum and the big songs are moving on. So keep voting. Keep listening to all of our shows: PlayStation Wrestling, PlayStation Pop, and Pro Wrestling Only. Be a new episode of the Place to Be podcast and Wrestling Warzone coming this week as well. Last week, a new Wrestling Warzone dropped looking at the Go Home Nitro for Halloween Havoc with the infamous Yeti breaking out of the ice.
So, and the Yeti!
Check that out. There was a new main event last week, as well as we did a pop blast on the pop feed looking at Season 2 of GLOW. That was me, Tim Capel, and Jen Smith. Check that out. And speaking of Jennifer, she also did her debut episode of Freak Out Drive-In with Scott Criscolo looking at Halloween. They live watched that. It's a good listen if you're in the mood on the pop feed as well. Anything you want to plug?
I mean, we're going to have a new Seinfeld probably
sometime
coming out this week.
Yeah, hopefully.
Just keep checking out on the horizon. There's might be some new stuff coming soon, and keep voting in the tournament more than anything else.
And every Wednesday, there'll be another piece as well. Check out Stacey's Divas Deep Dive. As she has her next installment coming this week. So that's been a great series as well. All right, we're out. We've been No Holds Barred. We're skipping the top five like we said. You have a No Holds or Celebration moment?
Sure.
What do you got?
Do you have one?
Yeah, it was completing that SummerSlam card.
You know what? That'll be mine too for this week.
Okay, very good. All right, we'll be back sometime soon. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Enjoy the SummerSlam. We'll talk to you soon. You've been dookied.
I did not enjoy the SummerSlam.
My heart is old. It holds my memories.